we meet 40 more times, I think I might shoot myself.
That's hurtful.
You say that there might be a live suicide at episode 100?
Ooh.
It'd be a
It'd happen around Christmas time.
There'd be explosions.
Not around Christmas time,
but
Katie.
That's the most popular time.
Yeah, because that is the most popular. I mean, we don't need another story of, like, you know, child fighting father in chimney for Christmas.
So don't be a guy, have a kid by then, and then die in the chimney. Yeah. Okay, Katie?
Got it.
Promise me.
Ever. I promise you.
That's the most horrifying story ever for a Christmas show. Number one, kids finding out that Santa doesn't exist. And number two, just the thought of dead decomposing father in the chimney.
I think it's number two and the number one.
To be fair, number one isn't a sure thing, because for all they know, Santa does exist and simply could not deliver toys because their father's corpse was in the way.
That's true. That's looking on the bright side.
Yeah,
there.
Like Santa could still be around.
Yeah.
He's just what the hell?
Well, this should all be recorded.
It is.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So welcome to episode 60 of Crippled System Podcast. My name is Andy, and I play Trollbloods, Minions, and everything else.
Brian, I play Scorn.
It's Ben, I play Kador and Scorn primarily.
Well, you are you're the boss.
You
are the boss.
Yes. I am a 2-time winner of the boss and like 4-time second place winner.
First place loser.
Lots of times.
First time cheater.
Yeah, cheater. I'm a cheater. Pants on
that was
fire.
So sad.
I will say that everything I've ever played against you, you've just massively cheated.
Yes, that is what I'm known for. I'm known for being a huge dick.
I think it's fair to say you are literally everyone's least favorite person in the War Machine community.
I don't know why you're here.
I don't know. I snuck in. You just didn't want to stop the recording. I understand.
Andy, start locking your door. Get this kind of riffraff in here.
Yeah.
I just want to vomit with rage because you're sitting next to me. Just like defensive.
Sure you don't just want to vomit.
Make sure that you make an angel.
Make some vomit angels.
Vomit angels. Yes, important.
Yeah. I'm Nathan and I play Convergence.
And then turn off the lights so that somebody has to turn them on and then gets puke all over their hand. Turn the lights back on.
And then wake up long enough to lock the door so that people can't come in to make sure you're not dead.
I locked the door.
Spoilers.
Spoilers
for later.
This is Katie, I play Circle.
And this is Jeremy, Valiant 418, and I play Rhett, and most recently I've been playing Legion.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
That did reaffirm Brian's decision to not be a drinker. I think like every once in a while Brian's like, yup.
I don't know, it reaffirmed my decision to be a drinker because I didn't wind up like that and I drank.
Well,
people were having fun
pre-Vomit
Angels.
I was having fun afterwards.
True. It was a cautionary tale.
I won't be having fun tonight.
Yes.
Like home to clean it up. Aww. It's mostly cleaned up. The meat's gone.
Yeah.
The grout.
Okay.
Don't refer to it as the meat, please. I almost.
Wow.
You could say the bulk of it. That's slightly because, like, the fact that it's like I'm envisioning actual meat was there that you had to clean up.
We're going to a very nice place to eat after.
We should probably tell people what transpired.
So as many of you know, it's my birthday month.
Happy birthday.
Just say birth month. I don't understand the word day being there. It's a birth month.
That's why I put it in there twice.
God, so it's like a double negative?
Yes.
So it's not a birthday?
So anyway, last night we had a birthday party, and it was a lot of fun, and a lot of people came from the War Machine community as well as a couple of other people.
People from three states were there.
There were people from three states. Yep. Well, Wisconsin included, so that makes sense. Yeah. And
hey, you still always include guests. Good. Thanks for coming, Iowa guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
well, of course,
I noticed
Keith
my bestie wasn't there. Yeah. I don't know that I invited him. I think I invited Marshall, though. I invite Marshall to everything so he knows that he's missing something.
Here, nice of you.
Don't you wish you were here?
They ducked your birthday party?
They ducked my birthday party.
That seems bad.
It was a bad matchup.
But anyway, so there was a lot of drinking, and there's a lot of cake, and there's a lot of chips.
Moonshine.
Brian.
There was moonshine.
There was a lot of moonshine.
Apple pie and moonshine.
There were delicious. A lot of fun games.
I didn't get any.
It was delicious.
It went away really quickly.
I know it did. Hence the meat cleaning.
The funnest game that somebody played, they played it by themselves in my bathroom. And they made angels, only instead of snow angels, it was in all the vomit that was all over my bathroom.
Yeah, the one person went in the bathroom, shut the door, threw up. and then proceeded to apparently flail awkwardly around in their own vomit
for a while.
Somehow wedged himself against the door, so
nobody could get into the bathroom.
So then he turned the lights off because we were checking on him every 5 minutes to make sure that he was alive,
not dead.
And
that's how Jimi Hendrix went.
Yeah,
it's true.
And so he turned the lights off. So I reach in, you know, to turn the light on, but in his quest to turn them off, he had dragged his puke all up the wall and onto the light. So my hand had a lot of puke on it, and it was so good. Yeah. Happy birthday to me.
It's the best birthday present ever.
Right.
Hey, so what was that awesome game that James of Pegasus recommended for you to buy?
Oh, James, we are no longer friends. It's called Raffle. It's terrible.
It was terrible.
I didn't play it, but I heard
that. I had a surprisingly in-depth conversation with Jim about why that game was terrible on the car ride home.
Well, I'd like to point out it was so terrible that we called James up and passed around the phone telling him how terrible it was.
Really?
Yeah. I called him during telephone fiction. No, during Time's Up, because we were enjoying Time's Up.
God, that's such a great game.
That's amazing.
I will say, off tangent, party games, before our group, I would always hate them because it was just standard Pictionary or standard crap.
What are you doing?
But man, James? When you get some of these other games, you get the right people for the right party game, it can be so much fun. Like, Time's Up in our group is always just the most ridiculous goddamn fun in the world. And then Nathan and
whatever you guys were playing last night,
Telephone Pictionary is also the most amazing thing in the world.
Well, so the best is John's wife, Sina, was like, how many penises do I have to draw?
There are so many penises. One round I set a rule, I'm like, guys, no poop or genitals this round. And of course, so the way it works is you write a sentence, then you pass it to your left, and then somebody has to draw what that sentence is. Then they fold it over so you can't see the sentence. You pass to the left. The next person can only see the picture. They have to write the sentence. They fold, wash, rinse, repeat until it goes all the way around the table. So I said, no genitals or anything. And then somebody passed me something that was, make sure you don't mix up the aspirin and the Viagra. So I'm like, well, I just have to draw a giant penis here. I mean, there's no way around that. Like, there's no way to get across Viagra without having a huge erection on this piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from the paper, every round there was like four of the things divulging into penises. Yeah. Yeah. Whether it started or ended there.
And most of them were really innocent. Like, my first sentence was, the cat goes up the chimney, which doesn't make sense, but would be easy to draw.
That didn't have any penises, did it?
I think it did after a while.
I was not playing it, but I ended up did see one picture that had... looked like somebody's ass with eyeballs on it.
Yeah. I don't know how that got there because the sentence at that point was, I am the best eye fister. Okay? Which, sure, why not? Sure. And then so somebody drew like a face with like really bug eyes, really close, almost like a staring contest with another pair of eyes that were on butt cheeks. Like one eye per butt cheek. It was just a naked ass with an eye per butt cheek having a staring contest. I don't know how that's I'm the best butt fister or eye fister, but apparently
it
is.
Well, that's because somebody originally had the picture I got was a thumbs up, but it didn't look like a thumbs up and an eye. It looked like a fist. And an eye, so
there's like a cookie fisting a cookie.
Yeah, that started with spiders
sex in a cemetery.
Well, yeah, the cookie fister started as spiders in a birdhouse, and then somehow the spiders became cookies, and so it was cookie fisting.
Anyway,
but look at his face when he's like, "How do I draw cookie fisting?"
But so that's easy. The thing with that game and with Time's Up and with good party games is that you're always, even in failure, like it's entertaining. Yeah, like right. The people who aren't currently active, like during Time's Up, like if Andy and I are doing clue giving or whatever, and we're failing spectacularly, the other people are having fun just watching it. Either of which, it's fun like that way. Raffle was dry, like it was chest dry. It was silently write something down, then hold it up. The person asks if they guess, and you go, yes, you are correct, or no, you aren't. Then you silently put your plaque back, and the next person holds theirs up. Like, there's nothing else to it. And, right. Like, the rules demand that. Like, you can't, like, you're not allowed to say anything, you're not allowed to hint give, so it's just not fun.
Party game with drinking is always best when everyone has to be completely silent.
Yeah.
I almost
And then Lust was still, like, worried, because he kept trying to be, even when he knew the answer, he kept trying to guess what the other people were writing.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't the guess, because only one person gets to guess, and he kept, like, trying to be involved in every aspect of the game. And it's like, you know what the sentence is. Yeah.
You can't table talk when we all know the answer except the one person.
Yeah. I'm glad I missed that one. We were playing. Tumbling dice upstairs, which was actually good times.
Which is a really, really out of print game that is basically several platforms, and you have four dice, and you have to flick the dice down the platforms, and they fall down the platforms, and each one has a different like X0, X1, X2, X3, all the way down to like these little platforms at the bottom, which are X4. And at the end of the round, you multiply the number on the die times the number on the platform, and all the ones that are still on the platforms you get points for. So it's supposed to be a four-player game. I have 8-9 sets of dice for it.
We had
so,
9 people.
And so you get a lot of people on there, and it becomes very chaotic very quickly, but it is a blast to play. And it's surprisingly challenging, and if you do look for it, don't get the version that's mini. They've got like a small version that has really tiny dice.
It's like it defeat the purpose.
It's terrible. So
yeah, we had fun. It turns out anyone who's seen Andy roll dice will not be shocked to hear that Andy won.
What? No, I didn't destroy everybody.
Yeah, you kind of did.
I did go first, like for pretty much the whole game.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Kate and I won times up.
Yeah, we did. Although, and then I was gonna say I know Andy played King of Tokyo with two newly found best friends.
Yes.
Yeah. So
two of the people that were there didn't really know each other prior to the party and became just best of friends.
There are people who were doing Puzzle Quest downstairs.
Yep.
And then there was some people upstairs playing. I think you guys were
doing
Time's Up upstairs. So I got not really stuck, but I had a small group, so we ended up playing King of Tokyo. And that lasted pretty well. The best part is when after that, when Lust was trying to play Zombie Dice, and if anybody knows what Zombie Dice is, you have a little cup, and you're supposed to pull out three dice. There's 13 dice in the cup, and you roll those dice. Well, Lust, his first action was to just dump the cup. He's like, I win! Like, no.
How many shotguns did he get?
Oh, so he many just, shotguns. Well, the thing is, like, because you pick up the walkers so you can re-roll those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he kept on, he was like, okay, you gotta get three more dice out of the cup. And he's like, picks up two and throws them. He's like, am I done? Like, no, you need one more die. And he throws it on the table. Like, I win?
Yes, you win. You win everything.
Yeah. It got to the point where I was physically holding the cup.
And you're, like, rationing out the dice to him.
Exactly.
There was some drinking involved.
There was some heavy drinking
Zombie
involved.
Zombie soup kitchen.
Two people fell down at one point in the evening, different points in the evening.
But, no, Time's Up was really, really good. My favorite was Warren McBurger.
I was a fan of J Pro Crack or J Pro Reefer. That was supposed to be Prometheus who gave the gift of fire
Blake
to mankind.
And Bob, and he didn't get that.
I went J because I know J and Silent Bob was the first thing I went to. And then, so she didn't say no, that's wrong. She just kept going, so I stuck with J and thought she was moving on to the last name.
And so I was like, if you're not a con, you're a.
Pro. I went with. And so the point is, like, everything was perfect because Jay, I'm thinking, oh, maybe it was, like, afterwards, I'm like, oh, I know what she was trying to do. Jay was probably Joe, not Con, but, or not, not, yeah, it was not Yay. I don't remember what it is, but the point is, I thought it was then Nay, and she was doing a drug, and it was meth. I was right about meth, so I'm like, oh, it's Joe Namath. So the whole time, like,
wow,
we keep
really
playing
good.
The game. It was a great clue for Joe Namath. So I kept looking for Joe Namath to be in the deck somewhere, and then somebody did Prometheus, and she's like, yeah, get it, meth. I'm like, are you shitting me?
I can see all that chocolate. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah.
Well, the best part is, I was like, it's like a poor man's crack. And you were
Reefer? No, first you're like, you smoke this, and it was like, Reefer, they're like, no, it's like, poor man's crack, and that, yeah, I did not get to meth right away.
And I had missed everyone kept using crack for its reference for the rest of the game because it was silly, and I had missed a crack reference, so I went every time Jim got it, he kept saying crack, and I'm like, I don't have a fucking clue.
So he pointed to his hiney.
Yeah.
Flip side, you and Jim, you just gestured giant tits, and he goes, Dolly Parton, and it was right, and then you pick up the next card and immediately gesture giant tits again, and he goes, Mariah Carey, and it was right.
I know.
Wow. Like two in a row.
We came back strong in that last round based off of mostly just tits and ass.
It's a good way to go.
It was. But yeah. Oh, and I had Prometheus, and I'm like, okay, bad sci-fi movie from last year. I'm like, you know, it's giving off all the direct. And he's like, well, he never saw it, of course. So it's like, this is useless.
Oddly enough, Jim would probably like Prometheus.
I don't
No, I know. It's too bad. It's so bad.
Yeah. Succinctly.
Quandary for you. What would you rather watch, Prometheus or RoboCop?
Prometheus.
Yeah.
Because at least
I'd hate RoboCop still.
Oh, we should have asked Newbie what he thought about RoboCop because he wants to go see it.
Oh, he said he loved it. He did not love it. It wasn't that bad. It was.
He said it wasn't as bad as what we talked about it as being bad.
He was wrong, but that's what he said.
Of course he was, dear.
But Katie's party was a success.
Katie's party was a success.
I had a fun time. We had glow sticks. Brian, he got me all my presents, and they were the starter kit for a rave.
Really was.
You got glow sticks, a bubble fan.
Candy necklace.
Candy necklace.
I threw out the bubble fan, by the way.
A lot of ecstasy. Good stash of ecstasy.
The bell is the best gift in the world.
Bell is the best gift.
Cake pops. Although I'm looking forward to the cake pops.
Delicious.
Every time she rings the bell, you get one cake pop.
I'm just okay with that. It's just like Malcolm training. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
That bell came in handy all day.
You should put that bell in the bathroom so when you know somebody's in there puking, they can just ding it.
We were playing Malarkey, and Malarkey, you have to like make up something and try to convince people to tell them the truth. And every time somebody was just struggling and it was obvious that nobody was believing anything, I would just ring the bell. It was like playing them off. Just like, ding, ding, you're done. Just stop.
It's a gong show.
Nope.
Yeah, gong show indeed.
So anyway, that was our night last night. So that's probably why we all seem a little low ebb this morning.
And we haven't eaten food today because we're all going out to Brazilian Steakhouse after
this. I did have two eggs.
This time we better actually be going because, again, I had three milk duds. That was my breakfast.
I had a couple crackers this morning to kind of...
I had a couple McDonald's burritos.
I had a couple eggs and a hash brown for McDonald's because he brought them at Valentine's.
I'm going to eat a lot of steak.
I'm going to eat a lot of pineapple.
I'm gonna eat all the ham.
Well, last time we recorded after we went to Steakhouse, and people like, you guys talked about food for an hour and a half, and so now we're doing it after, so we don't have that problem. Because we'll be talking about food for an hour and a half after we eat, but
we won't be doing it.
You won't have to hear about it.
No, we can talk about it now for an hour and a half.
Right.
Sure. Beforehand, it's like, oh, I can't wait for the steak. It's gonna be so delicious.
Oh, that and the pineapple.
Oh, the pineapple.
So you're just taunting me because I'm driving home after this.
Yeah. Hi, you stick around. Come to Sonny's.
Hey, we'll give you some live tweets.
Yeah. I shouldn't be checking my tweets in the car.
We'll just tweet pictures like hipsters with Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I am friends with Ben now on a game center on my iPad. So
I know
we're pretty tight.
We got to see Ben last night. Killbox. And last night, owner of Misty Mountain Games, which is really fun because we don't get to see him that often anymore.
Well, we don't get to see him in the wintertime because. Little known fact, you would think that living in Wisconsin, we would be fearless when it comes to driving in the snow. And to some extent we are, except the other drivers on the road are all what I'm actually terrified of. I'm not scared of the snow.
We'll drive to work in bad weather. The Beltline's going to be the devil for the next four hours.
Yeah. Not 4 hours, 4 years. Yeah. Like, there's all this construction because they're redoing it. The current, starting tomorrow through until I kill myself, they're tearing up the exit directly outside where I work.
Oh, God. Seriously?
Yeah, like the Verona Road exit right there. I work 100 feet away from that
exit.
That's
the one to my house.
They're annihilating that thing.
Oh,
well,
God.
Because where that light is across, like right there across, that's going to be a roundabout. They're getting rid of that light. They're going to put like a bridge over the roundabout to get onto and off of the Beltline so that the exit that they're currently has gone. It's going
to be
a
fair,
nightmare. And
most of the accidents I've seen in my time in Wisconsin have been at that light.
And that's true. It's just, but I don't understand. The thing I always put forward is that it didn't take us 4 years to get from Normandy to Berlin and people were shooting at us the whole time.
Right?
Like, fix the fucking exit. You got a month. Go.
Yeah. Get it done.
There's another project in town. I was like, well, this project is scheduled to go up to 2018. I'm like, seriously?
Yeah.
For the record, I used to live in Boston, and so the Big Dig. So you guys can whine all you want, but the Big Dig was far worse and far longer.
That's true.
It was miserable.
But anyway, enough of what everyone's like,
boring as podcast.
One thing that's interesting is, so we talk about, you know, we have two gamesters in town. A lot of us are on the west side, so we're all 5 to 10 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
And the East Side store is really only 20 to 25 minutes away on a good day, which still...
15 with no traffic.
People are like, you know what, they drive, like in Chicago, driving a half an hour game store is pretty common, I would imagine. People sometimes drive.
More or less.
But it's like in the winter, like, we call it the Beltline, but it's just a highway across town. Yeah. You know, people always ask, what the fuck's a Beltline? It's just
a freeway.
It cuts across the middle of the city.
Yeah. But because it's only one highway, so on a bad traffic day, that 20-minute drive might be a half an hour, or maybe a 45-minute drive. Then in winter, it's always like 45 minutes.
Well, big thing is that it's a mental thing with Madison. Madison is two cities. Like, yeah. Maybe a few other cities have this situation, but a lot of people don't understand the mental mindset in Madison. There is the west side of town, and there's the east side of town, and they might as well be on Mars and Jupiter for all that matters. You live in one, yeah. And the other one is some foreign land that you've heard fables of. You don't bother with the other side.
Yeah. Chicago's the same.
I go to Milwaukee more than the east side. Well,
because Madison's an isthmus, so you have this big sprawling mass on the left and this big sprawling mass on the right, and they're connected by about 30 feet of land, 29 feet of which is the Capitol building. And the city's on a diagonal. The hypotenuse goes through downtown, and so the Beltline's the bottom, and then the interstate's the right, and then it's a pain in the ass to get from one side to the other. And so even though it only takes like 15 minutes, you're like, fuck it.
Well, yeah. And there's everything that you need on each side. Like, there's two game stores, there's two malls, there's two whatever.
Yeah. The traffic is what gets me. I get off of work at about 4 to 5 o'clock, and driving down the Beltline to go to, it might take 40 minutes.
It'll be less bad for me. I used to have a meeting with my manager on Tuesday nights that would always run long. And if you hit the Beltline at 5:15, my God, it's terrible.
It really isn't that far, but when you're just like creeping along at 15, 20 miles an hour, it just
aggravated.
Aggravates.
If it was the only game store in town, we probably would still do it.
Yeah.
But when you have another choice, like, well, I don't have to go through this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not going to go through this.
Yeah. I don't have to eat glass.
Yeah.
But I do miss that store, and I actually the gaming setup they have at Misty is actually better and more open. Any of you that have come out for Mayhem Cups, we usually have it at Misty because it's larger and like it's a great setup. It's just a pain in the ass to get there, especially in the winter.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
fascinating.
Anyway, as we board everyone, do we have announcements this week?
Announcements. Stuff's coming up.
Don't we have a local event on the 15th?
Yes, we have.
We should probably announce that.
There's 44 events in the Midwest on the 15th of March. One of them is in Madison, Wisconsin. It's our three list Master Primer, which may or may not actually just run the Masters events. Yeah. Which, by the way, drives Travis insane. Which is like my favorite thing
in
the world.
We haven't decided if we're doing the Masters.
Well, it's basically just six of them. I mean, it's just a specific. It's not just, it's a certain scenario.
It's just six scenarios, which are basically the same scenarios that are in Steamroller.
They are. It's just only half the scenarios can be used in Masters.
Yeah.
For some reason.
So I said, we may be using just those scenarios.
I mean, the core thing is it's three lists, play each list once. That's the real test of the game day, exactly. Anyway. I mean, I'm more concerned about will these three lists work together versus the random opponents. Not so much those six scenarios.
Correct.
I mean, I have the middle type scenario list. I have, there's generic, but when I narrow it down, I don't think about those six lists.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm still in flux on which three I'm going to play. I know two of the three. I don't know if you guys are locked in on your three. I know two of my three, and I really want to make the third one Lilith 2 because it's so much more relaxing to play Lilith 2 one of the games in a tournament.
Yeah, there's only three convergence casters out, so it's easy for me to decide.
So you know which list you're playing.
Actually, Iron Mother comes out this week. I will have it on.
So is it three rounds?
It's a good one.
Two Prime Axioms.
However, Miranda takes
it. Masters normally is three.
But you just have to play at least every list once.
Yep.
So if it goes four rounds,
you'll have to come up with a third caster that's not E. Kruger or Chromac.
Mozart.
Done.
Yeah, that's
a good one. I need Morvana. I could learn to play her. I've never played her.
Morvana 2? You could win a tournament with Morvana.
I keep telling her to put Morvana 2 on.
I got an email. I actually have another announcement. They are having an event in Iowa, but it's on a Sunday.
Ooh, interesting. It's somewhere like casual, no have to sign up kind of thing, right?
It's on a Sunday in March. I'm going to the forum right now to bring it up here.
Well, as you're bringing it up, March 8th, Dice Dojo is having a team tournament, which you and a partner will be playing 25 points. If you can't find a partner, you can always show up at the event with 25 points of an army, and they'll try to find you somebody.
That's also
team
on the 15th?
That's on the 8th.
Okay. That is on the 8th, okay, like I said.
Sorry, I was...
And they do really nice prize support there. That's one of my local stores. And a couple times ago, they did a grab bag, and there was a mammoth in one of the grab bags that someone got. And usually the store goes all out to really welcome people in. It's a great store.
I grab bagged a ton of convergence there one time, which I promptly sold to one of our locals that then quit playing, which I didn't plan on, but
sad.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. But
Sunday, March 23rd, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. will be their casual event.
Huh.
I would have to take the Monday out because I wouldn't want to drive and go back and forth on a Sunday and then go back and work the next day.
Oh, it's a book release for Vengeance.
Yeah. And so it's funny on the threads. It was like, all right, do I sign up here? And they're like, no, you don't sign up. Just come.
Just show up.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I mean,
Maybe interesting. But I wouldn't mind doing
that. I hope to go to the team event. So if there's a I don't even care if I have a partner on the way down there.
I cannot drive my car down, but I would go.
Yeah, that's helpful, because what tends to happen with team events is the one person cancels or another person cancels, and then suddenly you have two teams in the event. So
yeah. I'll be interested in going, but like I said, my car is probably not the safest to drive down to Chicago.
Ryan, you can borrow a bunch of Kador, and we can try again. Because that was a solid list. We had that shit.
We had that. Yeah, we had.
I have Kador. So, yeah. You know.
Either that combo? Or Ben or not, Brian Brimmer and I with our Magnus 2 with Crows Cutthroats and Kazi Assassins, and then Kruger 2 with TK and a whole bunch of Wolds who could spam TK. We called it Sodomania because it was just backstrike on everything. You remember that, didn't you? Did we play against you that turn?
You did, but I've heard about
it. Yeah, that was fun.
Everyone's heard about Sodomania.
Just turning shit around and destroying it with freaking Crows and
Galleon having backstrikes is fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be good. That's a good thing. Bond the Galleon.
Oh, Galleon, thank you.
Yeah. So I think that's really all the. I mean, we haven't. I mean, obviously, first week in April is Adepticon, which I think all of us will be there in some degree. Me and Jeremy are doing a lot of playing. Nathan and Andy are running a lot of things, maybe playing
Nathan's
somewhat.
Nathan's played in some events.
I'm only signed up to run one event, and I'm playing in one Masters qualifier, and then God willing, the actual Masters. The rest of it, I'm hoping to just be casual and do Iron Arena and stuff. Like if nobody else signs up to run events, obviously I'm going to make myself available to privateer. But my plan right now, because the last like three Adepticons, I've worked like 40 hours over the course of the 2 days, and I'm like, this time I'm going to try to actually socialize.
Yeah,
I'm running every day, every tournament I'm running.
Yeah, you're maintaining the 40-hour work weekend. I decided not to this year.
I'm
not doing any overnights though. So people are up for Iron Arena, I'll be up for that.
I'm thinking of Gen Con, taking miniatures just to Iron Arena up Gen Con.
Yeah.
I'm actually seriously considering, depending on how things have gone through Gen Con, I may actually try to play in the Masters qualifier at Gen
Con. We still are unknown.
Like, I hate to do that at Gen Con, because Gen Con has so many other fun things to do.
Yeah.
But I may...
Giving it a day. Especially with all the hotel things being as weird as they are. So Gen Con's still a little chaotic right now due to the housing problems.
Yeah, Gen Con, you really don't want to turn into a war machine convention. That's a rookie mistake that I made my first time to Gen Con. I signed up for all the tournaments and then tried to go to all the tournaments, including the overnight tournaments. And
just don't.
I mean, for people who
go
can
get an autograph from
other...
David
Jim
Prowse.
Butcher.
Jim Butcher.
Jim Butcher. I'm
is
so
a guest of
excited.
Honor this year.
I am getting some books autographed by Jim Butcher. That is going to happen.
I'm just
going to
hug him.
get him to like sign your chest in Sharpie and then immediately go get it tattooed over.
He used to sign books at a place that was within walking distance of where I worked, so, like repeatedly for every book event. So I've got bunches.
He's really into LARPing.
James is super excited about it.
So they'll be there to talk about LARPing. Everyone else is like, ask him like a million, questions on. But James will be like, can I throw my beanbag on you and say I magic missile you?
Mm-hmm. A bunch of people, and I think it was James's group, is all going to cosplay. They cosplayed last year as almost all the characters from the Dresden Files, and they're going to go again in the same costumes because he's going to be there this year.
I would cosplay as the TV version with the drumstick and the hockey stick just to piss off the hardcore book fanboys who would want to defeat me.
He's fine with that.
He's fine with it. He got a paycheck, man. And not even just hoard himself out. He was involved. It's not there's lots of people who are take things too seriously. So when there's a different version of it, they really get angry.
Yeah.
And now that guy's on Arrow.
Go as Bob the Skull, only the one that's a person.
Yeah.
I liked him better as a person. I liked the little show. I thought it was cute.
It was perfectly good.
It was a good show.
I have no objections to that show.
It got me to try out the books, too, because up until I saw that show, I mean, if Brian had mentioned the books to me prior to that, maybe I would have tried them, but I hadn't heard anything about the books till after I saw the show.
Oh, I'm sure you did, because I had heard about them.
Anybody who hasn't read the books, I'm going to spoil a scene, but I'll spoil one scene just because if you hear this and you don't immediately read all the books, you can go die. There's a scene where he rides around Chicago in a zombie Tyrannosaurus Rex that is powered by polka music.
That is 100% true.
That is 100% accurate, and it's fucking awesome.
And it is amazing.
It is amazing.
And that's one of his earlier books, too, and
the books
get better.
Well, that's kind of like, that book is like so many
villains. It's me around just a conversation with somebody, and somebody's talking about, that's really good, but then it jumped the shark, it got overweight. It's like, are you kidding me? Like, he's riding a zombie T-Rex that's powered by polka music. And you're talking about 10 books later, it's jumping the shark.
So here's something that I didn't know, and somebody who's a hardcore Butcher fan of my work told me. I didn't realize that the Daenerians are always the major villain in each fifth book. Huh. Did you guys know that?
So
book
5,
they're the major villain. Book 10, they're the major villain. This next book is book 15. The Daenerians will be the major villain.
I know that he's got like 6 books left, and then he's going to be doing a 3 book like apocalypse.
My only thing on the next book I'm going to say is the synopsis is basically it's a good old fashioned like bank heist kind of thing.
But it involves the Daenerians.
Yes, it does.
Because it is the 15th book.
Yeah.
It's an evil bank heist.
Yeah. That's the twist.
Probably a twist. Get a coin or something.
Well, the only challenge with the Dresden books is that the power level is creeping up because he's involving himself with so many ridiculous things. So it's not like just I have to solve a crime. Now it's like I need to deal with like all these superpowers every single time.
Well, because he's becoming more powerful, but also he has these friends now that are just badasses in their own right.
I do like as long as like him become more powerful. Like a lot of books a lot of series would try to not pretend like that's not happening even though it is, like they try to convince you, but like in Dresden you can see he'll like enter a room and like the bad guys start shitting themselves in terror and doesn't be like, oh yeah,
I've heard about this guy,
that's right, I'm really scary, aren't I? Like I forget that I'm just like this god monster that can annihilate city blocks sometimes.
Yeah. And he does talk about
people
that
got mad at the last book a little bit. Some people were upset at the last book because there's a lot more there's more swearing in the last book than all the books together.
Huh.
But part of it's because of what's happening in his character and the realm he's in, so he's become more aggressive.
Yes.
And so the author specifically had more vulgar language in there based on the scenario. But some people are like, I can't believe that he said fuck. Normally he says hell's bells, and he said fuck.
That's just wrong.
I can't handle it.
Yeah, well, shit's getting serious.
Yeah. It is getting serious in those books.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to spoil things anymore. I was going to go on a 20-minute
rage. If we talk about Dresden for an hour, like we could just make this a Dresden podcast.
I could talk
about
moving the entire
time. I'm fine with saving my time for that.
I would be very okay with that.
You know, and the power creep you talked about, it actually reminds me a lot of Supernatural. Like, you start out with like two guys who are just kind of like these bumbling idiots killing stuff. And suddenly by where they're at now, they've hit like 4 apocalypses now. They're clocking through like the worst things that have possible to happen. Yeah. So
if you guys wanted to have like your own Dresden thing, we could always record something.
Dresden. Maybe for the next book. Oh, book release event. We'll all read
that seems like
about
a good idea.
That would be bad. We'll all read it at the midnight release, and then the next morning we'll spoil it and put it on the
internet. We'll read it live. We'll just sit here reading an occasion and go, whoa! And we'll just record that for 20
hours.
Not
out loud, just the reaction.
Exactly. That was right.
Holy shit, he just blanked!
Yeah. He shot who?
I've never read any of
the audiobooks.
Katie, you should probably read the Dresden.
So I would have to catch up.
So the audiobooks,
they're fast reads. Like an amazing thing. I know Brian's trying to get a sentence out, but an amazing thing. One thing that Butcher does amazing is that you can't stop reading. Like every chapter ends with you going, well, I have to read the next chapter because holy crap. You know, it's just really good cliffhangers / you know, dropping a shoe and you need to see the other shoe drop. So they're very fast reads.
Well, the last one came out, Katie was like, I'm going to bed. And then 3 hours later, I was like, sure, honey, I'll be right there. Oh, wait, it's 3 a.m. I guess you're asleep now.
I read them in a day now. Some books I read at a slower pace, but I will finish a Dresden book within 24 hours of purchasing it. It just happens. I just stop doing all of the things, and I'm like, I must consume this.
And I will admit, when I read the first two books, they were okay, but I was like, there's a lot of cliches. This isn't as good as I'm being told. So I double-checked with Jim. I'm like, Jim, come on, dude. Like, and he's like, don't worry. And it's true because the first couple books are a little more just like straightforward, pulpy, whatever.
Book I mean, one, yeah, and two are very,
one and two, the first two books. But there's a lot of cliches and a lot of the characters are very cookie cutter, take them straight out of an archetype shortcut handbook. But that's only so that going forward they can actually grow and break those cliches. Yes.
And the first two books were written before he actually became – I got any of them published and were very – he was very beginning in his authorship. He wasn't really very strong at it yet. And once he got to like 3, and 1 and 2 were a big success, they actually devoted some more resources to him and had an editor sit down with him and really help him get to the next level. Now he's just knocking them out of the park. Yeah. Everyone gets better and better.
They're still good. I mean, they're good. Like, they're B+. So these are fun reads.
Nathan, you can't give B+ to things. That's usually a bad sign.
Hey, I gave a B- to Into Darkness. I'll have you know. So the B is the breaking point.
Do you ever have those moments where you think that you're just completely dumb? This is a legitimate question. Because, like, I saw a Ben shirt earlier today, and I was like, I don't understand the top half.
It's like I could just didn't see the saws at all. I was like, why are there monsters on the top half and Tetris on the bottom half?
So to describe the shirt that I'm wearing, it's a conveyor belt, and it's got a bunch of 8-bit characters. It's got like a ghost from Pac-Man, Super Mario Brothers, one of the little mushroom guys.
Goomba,
thank you. I couldn't remember the name. And a Space Invaders guy. And at the bottom of the conveyor, or at the end of the conveyor belt, there's a bunch of saws, and they fall off, and they're getting cut up into Tetris pieces.
By the way, whoever is playing Tetris on your shirt sucks.
Yeah, they
terrible.
Suck. Also, they've got two complete lines. How are those lines still there?
I know, and that drives me crazy.
What the fuck? How are those lines still there?
It's one of the things I hate about this shirt.
I want to just take your shirt and cut them out and then turn them the way that they should be.
Yes.
I just want to cut the lines out.
Don't cut my shirt, please.
But anyway,
if it causes Nathan rage, it's a good shirt.
Yeah, it's a fun shirt. And usually it takes a little while for someone to actually get the shirt, so usually they have to be sitting across from me for a while.
She's just like completely derailed.
Level 1 time 56. There's not a timer in Tetris.
It depends on the Tetris.
Yeah. Tetris had a timer?
There's
the
so
original,
many.
I think.
Yeah,
there's a huge variety of Tetris. Nah,
but anyway, as soon as I got it, I was like, I must be the stupidest person in the world for not figuring that out. Like,
that sure takes a little while for people to get.
Let's not rush into saying no.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fair.
But see, the ghost is going to be fine because he's got a book that says the penitent animal pass, so he's just going to roll through the sauce.
So anyway, my point I was trying to say earlier.
Audiobooks.
Sorry. Of all of his books, he has the same actor has done the audiobooks for every single book except for one, and it drives people nuts. Like the actor wasn't around for like the one book. So it's interesting that he's so like dedicated that he goes out of his way typically to make sure that he's consistently like the guy who works with butchers for books. I think it's kind of cool that they for a narrative of having like, because I've never been into audiobooks, but I know a lot of them if you don't keep the same people reading them to you, it would seem more awkward.
You're right. Bearing the lead. The fact that it's James Mercer's who's Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, who does it.
And I was setting some episodes.
Not in his normal accent too. He does his actual non-British accent
because he's not British.
Completely throws you off because you're so used to hearing him, and he's a really great narrator. So
I saw a shitty sci-fi Saturday movie, like it was a western with them fighting giant spiders or something. And the bandit who has a heart of gold and fights the giant spiders and everything, I'm like, I know that guy, but I couldn't recognize him because he had black hair and was talking like an American, and that was just James Marsters in his natural habitat.
Yeah, yeah. My wife has actually listened to the audiobooks 3 times, all of them. But
wow.
She tends to latch on to books and series that she likes, and she listens or reads them over and over again because that's what she likes. So, and that she really likes Dresden, so...
It is really good.
Mm-hmm. Woohoo!
Yay!
Subject.
Topic three.
Those are
done.
The announcements.
Announcements.
You're right. Topic two.
I have one random comment / mini topic. The videos, and this person across from me, Jeremy. We'll call him Jeremy for now, mentioned that Ungaming has been putting up the videos from Lock and Loaded.
Yeah, which
is cool. Not Lock and Loaded,
TempoCon, but yeah.
Whatever happened in Rhode Island.
The thing that happened.
Snow.
And it's fun to watch those videos. I'm not a big watcher of videos in general, but I was watching like Watt had played some stuff, and I wanted to see one of his lists in action. I wanted to see how he moved the list. I was more curious how he spread it out and moved it. And one of his games, his round 4 game is versus the guy who actually won TempoCon. I'm pretty sure the Legion, Charles is who won it.
Yeah,
yep. But it's an amazing game because in the first 2 turns, Charles literally can't. All his dice are 5s or 6s, and Watt is just rolling 1s and 2s.
Ugh.
It is just like an atrocious. Like Watt loses a bunch of beasts early that he didn't kill anything of the Legion, and the game looks like it's about to just collapse upon Watt, but he turns it around because most people I'm so used to seeing like that situation with like 80 other people who just would have like broken down and like thrown their whatever across the table and just because I mean it was such a ridiculous. And, I mean, Watt did make a couple comments about the dice, because, I mean, at the very least, you can't not say this is ridiculous.
Yeah. You have to acknowledge it.
Yeah, you have to, like, okay, you do realize this is the stupidest thing in the world, like, you know. But then he digs in, and the way he plays back, he almost wins that game. What's sad is he actually plays a game down so bad, gets up on the opponent practically, and then there's one chance to win the game, he still gets screwed by bad dice. It's like he actually dug himself, and he still was fine. I mean, he never, like, you know, it was like he's such a good composure player. And to watch him play that game, it was just like to see someone go through those motions. It's a good lesson of people who think, you know, okay, I had some bad days, I'm screwed. Well, watch this game where this guy is down and just goes back to the fundamentals of playing a good game. It just almost, you know, almost brings it back from, you know, the loss. So it was a very interesting video from that regard.
Never give up. Never surrender.
Pretty much. But
and
yeah.
That's what really separates the people who are at the top tables from the people who are 3-1 like me. the tilting. The fact that when you hit a certain point and you're like, I'm done, and you look at it and you don't see the opportunities there. The people who are really good at this game can really look at it from all those different angles and just see the opportunities there and not the despair.
It's true. It's very true.
Because the despair is very easy to see. I've often see that. Yeah, it's like, you know what? I'm going to just start drinking now. I need to go make some puke angels over there.
And then Butcher charges Tiberian and whiffs.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And like in Watt's game, it was going so bad for him, but he made one tough roll that kept him out in the way of what happened to be like a game charge that would have like put him down more. So he's had all this bad luck. He happened to have one spot of good luck and one in the one spot that actually kept him in the game. It was like all these little things. He just kept playing, and he caught a break where he needed it. And then and his opponent also late game, his opponent, his turn started, and he goes and makes a command check for a unit to rally them. And then he forgets to shake a knockdown, and he wanted to do that. And then Watt's like, well, you know, whoever wins this game is going to the finals.
Yeah, you don't.
You could tell Watt was like, he had to, like, I don't want to give it to you because you didn't do it, but I don't want to be the asshole. But I don't think he should have said that because, I mean, he wasn't being the asshole. The guy started doing his turn.
Yeah.
And, you know, the judge was right there. Is like,
that's a big thing. Like in casual games, it's so tempting to give takebacks.
Yeah.
And like people do it all the time. Like, oh yeah, no problem. Whether it be War Machine or even like board games and stuff like that. And like if you get in that habit, then you're more likely to continue to forget to do stuff. So it's worth it, even in casual games, to quote unquote be that asshole. And so you forgot to shake, fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Because that's gonna encourage your opponent to remember it going forward.
Yep.
I think I actually learned that the most when playing Travis.
Yeah,
saying nice things about Travis on the podcast.
Travis is wonderful.
Who's Travis? Sam Milwaukee.
Sam. Anyways, when I played him the first few times, I was just starting out as a player. I had like some of the first Mayhem Cups, and he would just be a stickler about everything. It was like the charge lanes had to be perfect. Everything had to be. You had to play the game so tightly. And at first it tilted me because I was just – I couldn't play that way because I wasn't used to it. But the more I played him, the more I realized if I played that way –
He remind you to like shake knockdown and stand
yeah,
up.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah.
I would be a dick about it.
Did you want to shake that? And then you remember.
Yeah. And then you feel bad. But and you are
– Oh, Andy, I'm sorry. I didn't see you over there.
Yeah. Yeah. How's that advanced deployment totem hunter yet, Brian?
Casual game. Oh, no.
God.
But yeah, no, because I know like Brian was commenting previously, maybe on the air, maybe not, but when he got his iPad, a whole bunch of you guys have iPads now, and they play games like Waterdeep and everything on there. And the iPad doesn't give you takebacks.
Nope.
That is the thing. We're so used to doing it in like casual games. Like, oh, obviously you meant to blah. No, the game says fuck yourself on the iPad.
I've lost some of these board games. I'm like, oh, I didn't mean to go there, but I guess I don't. Like, it's like too bad.
I guess that's where I'm going.
It's going there.
Yeah. The iPad don't care.
I had the problem with that too with the Blood Bowl game. The same thing. There's no takebacks. There's no like moving your piece, thinking to move out. Like, oh, I actually moved. Oh, crap. My Saurus is running right through the line, trying to make 6+ dodge rolls.
I'm playing several games of Diplomacy Online right now, and I had one. I just got annihilated in this game. I was winning, and then I just got torn apart because of one miss move, which was I had Burgundy support Spain into Marseille, and this fleet supports Spain into Marseille, and this other place supports Spain into Marseille, and all these supports, and I never actually told Spain to move into Marseille. Like, all these other things are like, we got you, man, we got you! And then Spain's just, like, reading a newspaper. And, like, in a live game, it's like, oh, he just forgot to write that down, but the PC's just like, nah, you didn't say to move. Go die in a fire. And so then I just got steamrolled, and now they're just dissecting me. And so, like, the game is only public discussion. You're not allowed to talk to each other private. It's all open in this particular one, and you can tell when it really turns against me because like four other nations start publicly discussing exactly which of my supply centers each of them has dibs on. I'm like, oh, this is bad.
What I'm finding though with that is I have to relearn that I can't have takebacks in each and every game that we play.
Yeah.
Like I have learned it for Waterdeep and it's now just like a natural thing, but then we started playing Small World and it's like, oh, but okay.
No, exactly.
And in War Machine, that's the thing. I've been doing that a lot more lately, is just really keeping myself honest. I mean, if I forget to allocate focus, I'm sorry, I forgot to allocate focus. Because when I get to a Masters event or something like that, people are completely within their rights to not allow you to do that. And honestly, right. they really shouldn't. They're kind of cheating yeah. by letting
only,
you do it.
The only one that's hard for me, and this is literally a part of the rules that I just have trouble wrapping my mind around, is the difference between the, what is it, the maintenance phase and
me
the...
Me too.
And control phase. The exact order.
Like, the exact power. Order. Because I'll be like, oh, I'll reave my fury, and now I'm going to make my vengeance attacks. Because it doesn't... At the end of the day, it shouldn't fucking matter which order I do that in. But the vengeance attacks are supposed to happen before I reave my fury.
Right.
Yeah.
Technically, when I begin reaving my fury, that means my swordsmen just aren't vengeancing this... Or my legionaries just aren't vengeancing this
I have turn. Gotten yep. into the habit of not memorizing that order, but asking my opponent... Because with the
what am I supposed to do right now?
Help
me!
What
will be the best for me right
that's
now?
That's a game mechanic question, not a... Yeah.
Because yeah. with the stones, like, you can do serenity in your control now. Phase. And I never know if that's what if that's before or after the maintenance phase, and it matters sometimes.
It happens matter. Before you reave.
It happens before you reave.
So,
and I will say, one thing about Mark II is, Mark I, the phases when these things happen wasn't as well wrote down. So in Mark II, I mean, I forget it too, but at least
it's well documented.
It's well documented, so if you, when you, eventually you can start remembering
online,
it.
Online, I should find this.
It's I'll probably a little cheat sheet.
I was going to say, I found an amazing cheat sheet yeah. for this that I just don't ever bring with me anymore because I'm a good player now, so I don't yeah. need it.
Well, you're legit.
I do, except I 100% do.
Is control phase before maintenance phase?
It's after.
It's after.
It's after. Yeah. Damn it. Because I was like, you can just go in alphabetical order.
You can't, though. and then there's
stuff that happens before even the maintenance phase.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, stuff that lasts around is over before you even start your maintenance phase.
Yeah.
There's
all sorts of roots.
There's a flow chart.
Anyway, there's a cool little...
I'm just going to talk.
Katie was the one who was talking.
I was
the one.
Katie's got the conch.
But anyway, not to give any spoilers, but that's why when I forgot that key thing that Getarex can do, I didn't take it.
Yeah.
When Jeremy pointed out that I forgot that.
Well, and I would argue that in an event, asking someone to give you the take back and, like, you know, putting them on the spot is a huger dick move.
It's so rude.
Than not giving the take back. Oh, because you're saying, hey, opponent, do you want to look like a shithead right now? Or do you want to, you know.
Or do you
want
to let me cheat?
Or do you want to let me cheat? Your options are I get to cheat or you look like a shithead. Pick one.
Yeah, you either lose the game or. You often. Look like a shithead.
The only time worst thing I saw was a game where a guy asked for a take back. The guy said, sure, you can have it. The guy did his action, killed the opponent caster because of the take back. He went to the judge and said, well, the guy, I gave a take back, and then he killed me, so can you undo that? And the judge said, sure.
Oh, like, that's
how,
just wrong.
Like, how does that happen?
That's a bad judge.
I mean, once you say yes to the take back, it's too late. You can't say, oh, well, based on the, I only meant this, yes, if it, you did nothing with that take back. I mean,
right.
you were productive in the take back, so you shouldn't have done it. I need a judge.
So wait, Nate, let's deploy. You pick your side. Judge, yeah. I'm really unhappy about the train.
that's slightly, yeah, you know. Yeah. Ironically, the same event that happened. Both those things happened.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Event. But anyway.
That happened at that event?
Yeah. It was,
wow.
Huh. Is it the same person?
No.
Okay.
Completely different people involved in the
but scenario. Hilarious, nonetheless.
Oh, yeah. Man. I love that story.
And I found out too late because I would have just raged.
Oh, I would have lost my mind, yeah. But anyway, yeah, so... Anyway, I will try to put a, I will put a link in the show notes. Maybe not like right away, but I'll get it up there this week because I found there's an amazing FAQ when I first started playing, and it's like a single sheet of paper, and it's the order. It's literally everything. It's like first you do this, then you do this, then you do that, then you do this, then you do that, and it's just like boom and right
it,
there.
Yeah. It's in the back of the rule book, isn't it?
No, yeah, it's much. The fact I found is much clearer.
Like the one in the rule book has things like all other events. You know, and it's like,
yeah,
this
sure.
is literally like this is and this exact one thing happens.
Yeah.
And it's all the
now
minutia.
You check fire. Now you check corrosion. Now you check this.
Hey, speaking of cool things, completely a different topic. War Room a new update comes out tomorrow.
Yay!
Is it tomorrow?
The theme forces will actually be validated in the War Room.
I have a feeling this might be a really good version of War Room.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You're still under the NDA.
What?
Jeremy, I don't know what you're talking about. I trust Nathan's gut instincts.
He's just feeling strong about this.
Hey, he knew that RoboCop would be bad, and then his gut instincts told him that
48 minutes in, there's going to be a pause.
Oh, there will not.
I don't know what he's talking about. I'm not under 98.
I don't know what he's talking about
I just think
either.
The new version of War Room is probably really good.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, for the record, you can say the NDA doesn't say you can't even admit you're in it.
You can say you're in an NDA.
I'm in an NDA for a beta of something. But as long as I know that, because as long as you're like,
which is all that I know.
Yeah. It's not like all these are the details. That's just, that's a. And
Jeremy,
Jeremy, shut up and stop trying to get people in trouble.
Anyway, so we had an actual
you
topic.
You are getting people in trouble.
We had an actual topic for today that would be kind of interesting.
The case is
excited about. We're probably running close to.
We'll rip through it, and then we'll do zappies.
Yeah, we got that. You said you were 48 minutes in?
Yeah.
Booyah. So we got like 15, 20 minutes for this topic, 10 minutes for zappity grumbles, 5 minutes for recommendations,
very
then we go eat.
Topic. That works.
Yeah.
I mean, mine's going to be super quick.
Is, yeah, super quick, because Katie's the only one who cares, so.
Yeah.
It's a good topic.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm flabbergasted at Nathan's timing, because I know that it's not going to work that way.
We have a set 20 minutes
now. We have a set 20 minutes for zappity grumble, which helps a lot.
All right, so anyway, the idea of this topic is... or the history behind it is Jeremy and I were discussing the new War Dog that came out for
that's been spoiled but not actually come out
For Circle, and I said I don't like them because they look like just bulldogs, and that's not what Circle is all about. And then we went into what would be a cool thing that your faction would have that doesn't exist, either from an art standpoint or from an ability standpoint, something that's not just OP that you're inventing. And so I said I would want to be. Or I wouldn't want to be, but I would want to have like a panther.
You'd want to be a panther.
Well, I'd want to be a panther. That's also true. And it would be like a speed 7, high defense, like defense 15, and then low armor, like armor 15 or 16.
Almost like a rake.
It'd be like a rake.
It would be like a circle version of a rake.
Yeah.
I bet. I think that'd be because there are no cats.
Right. Well, yeah, obviously. But as far as, like, it's...
Similar to a rake.
But I think it'd be really cool if we had, like, a panther or something. Because we have the wolves, and then we have a wolf that looks very domesticated, which I still don't like the artwork for it at all. Yeah.
What is that? The moon shadow? Moon something?
Laris?
And so I said...
No, the new two.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Well, Laris is a moon, so that's Laris got me confused.
Well, yeah. It's like the moon shadow or the moon something.
Yeah.
But it would have been cooler if they'd used, like, a fox or a dingo or a coyote or something, and not, like, a...
Another Argus.
Well, something that looks so domesticated, which is the exact opposite of what Circle is.
The only problem with using a fox would be all the people who think they're the cleverest person in the world who would make references to what did the fox say every time they activated it.
That's true.
That has ruined
foxes.
Like every time they're like, no, the fox is going to say, and they're going to move the model.
That's a clip for the soundboard, by the way.
But my point is, it looks just so weird against the rest of the faction. Like, I wouldn't play it even if it was amazing, because I don't want to look at it next to my
other
things.
Katie had 100% the right point, that those should have been the butcher's dogs.
They are amazing as butcher's dogs.
And then the butcher's dogs should have been fucking circle dogs.
Yeah, like, the bulldog, because, I mean, the war argus, or not the war argus, the war dog is that style as well,
he is. So
anyway, I think they came up with the idea after they came up with the butcher one, and they're like, shouldn't the butcher's dog look more like a domesticated dog? And they're like, we'll just give that to Circle instead, which doesn't make any sense.
I don't know that it's quite how the creative process works.
They probably got mixed up in the processing. Yeah. They're like, oh, we did a ton of these dogs. Well, I guess they're the butcher's dogs now.
Yep.
So anyway, that was my idea.
That's pretty cool. From gameplay standpoint, I think that Convergence is missing cavalry. That's one of the only categories they don't have is cavalry. But from an art standpoint, I don't care. I mean, it could be the cavalry as well, but I would love a warrior model/unit, non-vector thing, with zero physical similarity to a human form. Because they are free of limitations. There's no reason to be a bipedal, four-limbed, here's the head on top. I mean, you could have... And, like, Lucan's near that. He's got his, like, 9 limbs, but he's still standing upright. He's got his head. He's got a face. There's no reason not to be like, well, I think I'd be more efficient if I had 17 limbs, 4 of them had hands, these had saw blades, and they all just spun around, and there's no top, there's no bottom, like, because it's more efficient and whatever.
A whirling death ball of pain.
Or anything, like, just something completely non-human.
Yeah, that'd actually be kind
of
cool.
That'd be very
like the
fun.
Final boss of a great... I can't even think of the board game. Or that stupid video game that came out. The final boss is basically a cube that rolls around the map.
Sure.
It's just, you know, it's a ridiculous thing. It's just a cube.
Yeah.
Self-moving.
Well, you know, it's kind of like, well, along with speaking of cube, it's like the Borg in Star Trek. Like, their ship, like, you don't need to have these here, whatever. It's like, a cube works.
Cube works.
Boom. And because from their efficiency standpoint. And so it's its own unique thing because
of
that.
Makes perfect sense. Yeah. Although, I think if they just put out a bunch of blocks of cube resin...
Yeah.
People might get a little angry about that.
Yeah, well, not as a cube. You could cool. It could be spider-like,
but
maybe,
I think
and stuff
four
like
legs
that.
Makes perfect. Like, almost in every way, four legs is better than two legs.
But they're doing cephalics, which
or
they
like
kind of have
wheel.
To...
I mean,
although that's just a very, very limited thing that they're doing, that's it true. Seems like.
Well,
so.
Or like a centipede-looking thing.
Yeah. I mean,
Nathan wants more legs.
More legs.
Or fewer.
More legs and saw blades. Okay.
You want a convergence centipede.
That causes terror because those things are terrifying.
You want laser-guided saw blades.
Sure. I already have laser guided saw blades. And that's sharks. What the monitor uses.
Sharks that shoot laser guided saw blades.
Can only deploy in water.
Deep water only.
Yeah, only deep water. And halfway through the game, the deep water will change to shallow.
And then they go turn into land sharks. This is a little fin. It's just like a burrow marker. It just goes around. God, that'd be amazing.
What's happening?
The more I look at your shirt, the less I like it.
Oh, well, I'm
sorry. Wow. Wow, Katie.
Well, no, I mean, like...
It's got problems.
It's got problems. There's a Tetris... problems in and of themselves, but yes. Then if you look at the little characters that are getting chopped up, they clearly know they're about to get chopped up and are still alive.
Yeah,
okay. Maybe they're sedated.
No, that guy has little exclamation marks above his head. He's very aware. Sweat
drops coming off one of them.
Like they've been paralyzed.
No, he's concerned. That's like a concern. He's maybe, like, crap.
Yeah. Maybe the saw blades don't pop out until the very end. They don't realize.
No, they're there.
You see the saw blades? Maybe it's similar to Ice Pirates. I don't know if you've seen that.
The ghost looks frowny.
The ghost and the goomba are both frowny. My guess is they've been paralyzed with Fugu fish toxin. They can still see and feel pain, but they cannot physically move.
Oh, like I said, like Ice Pirates.
Yes, exactly.
Ice Pirates are the worst way to die ever.
It's very angry. And I'll try to find a picture of this shirt. And it's sadistic.
Katie.
Oh, it's completely sadistic. It's a cruel shirt.
Here's your silver lining, Katie.
Oh my God, that's me.
The
camera wrong way.
The next piece that's falling down is accurately depicted in the next piece box.
That is true.
It's got that right.
That's sorted. Brian took a picture.
Actually, I would count that as wrong because it's already falling.
I'll post it later.
So the next piece should be whatever they're going to make out of the
Well, and there's like four pieces falling at the same time.
Is that one a penis?
Yes, that is a penis.
I'm sorry. All right. Continue the conversation.
Anyway.
All right.
So Nathan wants legs and different things. What does Ben want for his faction?
Thematically and gameplay-wise, I want a Venator caster.
Oh yeah, I would never have an erection stopping event.
Yeah.
Oh come on, you already rhinoceros Xerxes. You don't care.
That kind of helped, but
that picture came out at like 4 hours later. I texted Brian. I'm like, "Has your erection gone away yet?" And he just replies back, "No."
It still hasn't gone away. But no, I mean they've been shifting with the fluff and everything like that. They've been shifting more towards the range component and stuff like that. And they've been bringing out more and more range troops and. The big problem with them is they don't really have anything in the faction whatsoever that supports them, except for the Raider, which is...
You have Snipe on a stick. That's pretty good.
Well, you can Snipe on one model.
It's Snipe. I mean, Snipe helped, but it's like... But now we have Snipe. All the ranges... Everything new, and now all the ranges are 10.
Super short, yeah.
So now it's pro and con, because now everything...
It's just like the troll problem.
And it's 5 points.
Yeah.
I mean, for... It's not great for a lot of other things.
I would be surprised if we don't see that caster in the next 5 years.
It would be an interesting
fluff.
Yeah, it probably won't be this next book. Obviously, it's not this next book. But the one after that, when they start introducing maybe some new characters again,
yeah,
I think that would be really great.
Are you sure there aren't going to be two casters for you in
this book? I don't know. Let's talk about your NDA.
I don't know anything about the upcoming book.
You don't know anything about
I don't dick all.
Oh, yeah. I know less than that.
Sadly, he knows nothing about the book.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It just seems like they're doing... epic versions and legendary versions.
No, I would like to see a new caster. Honestly, ever since they keep doing such amazing things for Scorn that I can't think of something like model wise besides that that would be better. I mean, you show me Xerxes on a rhino. Maybe I want everything else on a rhino now. I mean, I don't really know. Can I just have like a bunch of rhinos? I can just stick whatever
can you have
model
a rhino
I want.
On a rhino.
Yeah, can I? Yeah, exactly. Can a rhino be right? Can Xerxes be holding Resheth while they're on a rhino? And then he just throws Resheth at people and he rolls around the board.
I like that idea.
It's like
epic
a boulder.
Resheth.
Yeah. Who's just on the Xerxes?
He's spring loaded, so you like wind him up in and just like flings him forward and tramples.
It's a one
and
shot.
Then he models and he knocks down or removed from play.
Exactly.
Like a Chaos Orb.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
He eats him as he goes.
Nom 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 nom. In heals.
Like in Critters too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really hard because every time I want something crazy, every book they show me some cool new monster. I guess I would like to see the Razor Worm was cool, but I want to see a burrowing beast for Scorn. Like he's almost burrowing. In his reels, but I want to see something similar to him. Or just give me the Sandworm from Doom.
A character Razor Worm would be pretty cool. I mean, if you had one that could buff other Razor Worms or something like that. Because it's a cool model. And right now you only really play it in like Hexaris Ardum if you want to get the Arcanum.
The thing is, it's a legitimate decent beast in a faction with amazing beasts.
Has anybody out there painted a Razor Worm in the black and white color scheme of the Sandworms on Saturn in Betelgeuse? Because if nobody has, somebody needs to.
There's not enough of the body showing to really to show that.
I don't care. Make it happen. Yeah. All right, fine. Do it with Scarith.
I actually saw that actual thing. They had an exhibit at the MoMA in New York for Tim Burton, and they had all of his props and stuff. So they had the sandworms and stuff like that up. It's amazing.
Was Helena Bonham Carter there?
Yeah, lots of costumes in a case. That's pretty much what. Yeah, in a case. They just there.
I saw a sketch about Tim Burton, like, you know, coming out with a new movie, and he's like, "Oh, it's a great movie idea. Give me my phone." And he flips the phone open, and there's just two buttons. Yes. One says "wife," one says Johnny Depp.
That seems fair.
Yeah. So Andy,
I have two quick things. One is like a small complaint about Minions. I want to have the Swamp Horror be on a huge base.
Yes.
Oh, it's a unit.
The great swamp horror.
Yeah, like an ancient swamp horror. They need beast. To have that. So it matches the artwork that's in the Monstronomicon,
which is so awesome.
Yeah, it's huge. The other thing I want to have for specifically my faction for Trollbloods, I want a heavy troll caster or something. Oh. Something that basically like a Molg. In a sense, that's like a leader of the dire trolls, where it introduces not really a magical component, but he runs like a warlock, but he doesn't. He's not a warlock. He just has special
Karcha abilities. The troll.
No,
saying he doesn't want it to actually be the warlock.
I don't want it to be a warlock. No, I want it to have the abilities.
Almost
to be
like
able
Deathjack, where Deathjack's a heavy jack, but has some spellcasting ability to it. So this would be like a heavy beast with some kind of.
But he draws upon the fury of his battle group. So it's in a sense he's a warlock, but he's not a warlock.
So you want a dire troll war beast unit?
I want a dire troll war beast. Just basically that could take the place of a warlock in an army.
It'd be really interesting.
That would be Karchev, then. It would have to be like a Karchev.
If you're replacing Karchev, it's a guy.
You just said it's a caster. So it would be similar to Karchev.
No, he's got abilities like a caster. Yes. But not a caster.
So you'd have a caster and this guy.
It's a war beast.
The time shift casters back in the day for the Invitational One Time, they had Vinter.
Sure.
Who took the place of a warcaster but had zero warcaster abilities. When you built your list, he counted as a warcaster, but he was not a warcaster. I think what you and Andy are saying differently and why you're not getting the same page, yes, he'd take the place of a warlock, but he would not actually be a warlock is the difference of what you're saying what Andy's saying.
Yeah, exactly. Vinter is probably the easiest way to explain him. He would give powers and be able to re-fury like normal, but then he would use it as power tokens to do other things.
Or even more wildly, not just trolls, like they could hypothetically do that and have like war casters or / warlocks that don't have the spell swinging ability. You know, that are different. They still, for list building, take that spot and have the Jack or Beast points, but they don't have a spell. They don't might not even have a feat. They might just be super solos, but they lead the army without being a wizard.
Yeah. Well, like with that, then you can introduce a lot of the battle group abilities. What is that called?
The Field Marshal.
The Field Marshal.
They just have shitloads of Field Marshal abilities.
Have Field Marshal abilities that you can tack on or activate.
Privateer Press loves that already because they've already been. I imagine because they've already been.
Whoever came up with Field Marshal got a promotion and 30 raises.
Brilliant. I know Mark III is a long way, but I think we're gonna see a lot more Field Marshals in Mark III. I think that's gonna be a thing where it's gonna exist.
I really like that.
I mean, Convergence got it for a little while and be special, but then it was too good of an idea just to let one faction have it. I think was the thing.
Harkovich. Yeah, like I said, I want a heavy dire or something like that that would have. It's basically a completely different mechanic than what normal hordes is using.
Back when I played trolls, I really wanted a pig warlock that had a dismount. Like, he would be on a heavy troll with, like, a Karchev-style grid, and then when you killed it, he was dismounted and had, like, 5 hit points, and he was still his warlock running around.
Well, like Master Blaster, basically.
Like Master Blaster, exactly.
That would be kind of cool, though, too.
Then Bethane and Valfagor came out. It was kind of a similar concept, but this would have been straight-up dismount.
You know, you mentioned something about getting stronger based on the other beasts and stuff like that, getting more anger and stuff like that. That'd be kind of cool, having a war beast that would feed off the fury generated by other war beasts.
Yeah.
Like, as fury builds up, you kind of want to run him last because you're building up strength based on
kind of
other
built-in synergy for just that war beast.
Yeah, it's almost like a Forsaken ability. It could take fury in, and its tokens on it that it then...
Oh,
could
it's
like
fury
spend
management.
When it takes him in, make him into like not fury, make him into whatever tokens, and then it can spend them for various things.
That would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, trolls need some more fury management.
Oh, nice. Creelstone's great! It's the best fury management.
Whelps
or whelps? Yeah, whelps are so.
Whelps are amazing.
That's why you bring them out to
fury management.
But that's my thing.
That is very cool.
That's a good thing.
I want And this is like batshit crazy, but this is for Rhett. I want a unit of infantry wearing magical jetpacks. Like, I want them to just straight up. They're not like wizards like the battle mages themselves, but they take advantage of some sort of magical construct.
Like jump jets.
And like jump jets or something like that. I think that'd be amazing.
You want a unit with leap?
A unit with leap, or even just straight flight would be fine.
Oh, sure.
Like, because that would be an easier way
you
to model.
You want a unit of the Rocketeer.
You want grotesques.
Yes, a unit of the Rocketeer.
Nobody wants grotesques.
No one wants grotesques. No, these are like straight elves in magical battle armor that can fly.
So there's steer a, by your ears? Is that how you
sure,
fly?
I don't care.
They flap like wings.
I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck how they steer. That would be amazing.
So there's this game made by these people in a workshop that might have something that you would want to...
No, I'm aware. Similar. I'm aware that Games Workshop has similar things. I'm just saying, I think that would be badass awesome. It's a faction that even with some of the fixes we've gotten, still our older casters struggle with Pathfinder. So a unit with Pathfinder built-in flight thing would be really good for them. And just the idea of it, I mean, it's something that the other factions with their steam-driven stuff really can't. Like, nobody's going to strap a steam boiler on their back except for the man, like a big man of war unit. I want like a nimble unit.
Oh, you just made me so happy right there.
I want like a nimble unit of infantry with like a little magical jetpack.
You know who else would strap a steam boiler on their back and fly around?
Xerxes and a rhino?
Epic Durgan. Well, Durgan too, just strapping a fucking boiler on his back, just cackling and shooting in random directions through the sky.
That and also...
oh, that'd be amazing.
All of the Pharaoh.
Yeah,
the Pharaoh yeah,
Xerxes, or not Xerxes, but Arcadius would Arcadius. Be like, hey, just throw this thing on here. All right, go!
And button go.
Speaking of Epic Rosheth, throw some on him too.
See Baron Harkonnen on the sword.
Baron
Rosheth on an Arcadon. No,
oh, God.
Poor Arcadon.
Really big Arcadon.
Or the, no, not the Arcadon. Damn it, what's the flying one?
Arcanine.
Oh, that's Arcanine. Yeah, I was right.
It's
kind of
a nimble beast. I don't know how Rosheth would
You would need like three of them.
Yeah, it's like the swallows with the coconut. It'd be the opposite. You tie several Arcanines, like one on each limb.
It's like the opposite of it's opposite of Harpy, where she's floating. They'd be above him, dragging him underneath. Yeah.
And they'd just be bowing down, like, really a lot.
He wouldn't even have flight, because they can't get him off the ground. They're purely aesthetic, because they're just desperately trying and just dragging him.
And there's an epic base that comes with it, just a big drag mark in the sand.
Reduced to like two.
Oh no, that'd be bad. Give him a weapon, please. Let him charge, for God's sakes.
So that all you have to do is just shoot the Arcanons, and then he's just a lump.
He's speed four, he loses one speed per Arcanon that dies.
You'd be like the caster with the tree, just kill the tree.
Yeah.
Does he become the lump that the convergence heavy works on?
He becomes human bender.
Oh, okay.
You have like unseen path where he sends out the Arcadon and then he can like leash himself to it.
There you go. He magically pulls himself to things because he can't
makes
walk.
Him even faster.
They might not be by choice either. He like throws an apple.
Oh my god. Anyway.
Slow down.
Anyway. Stop magical it. Jetpack elves. That's what I want.
Jetpack elves.
Jetpack elves.
It could even be like a small unit. It could be a character unit. I don't care. It'd be amazing.
As someone who plays Ferox, let me tell you that an infantry unit with jump. Amazing.
Right?
Ferox so can fuck themselves.
They're so Ferox good.
Right. Are we going to the 20 minutes?
Or somebody get a timer on this bitch.
How much time do we want?
20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Oh, while you're saying that, I want to mention real quick. We got another email from Elias Worth from Europe who's coming to town. He is, in fact, coming in. He's coming in February 28th for 2 months, and he wants to drop his Signer on us. So I'll respond to your email as well, Elias, but I just want to let you know we got your email, and we're looking forward to seeing you.
He'll be in town for 2 months?
2 months. So from February through April.
Nice.
And April. And he'll be here for Adepticon.
Tell him that normally he doesn't have to pay to play, but in his case he does.
But in his case he does.
With
he can pay me directly.
He did ask if he needs to pay to play at our two gaming stores. I don't know if that's a European thing.
Not European specific, but it is
some,
a thing.
Some stores. Some places have some of that.
Do we want to start with Facebook or Twitter?
It doesn't matter to me, but it's Katie's birth month and Ben's a guest, so I think they should get to say the sound effects.
Oh, okay, that works.
I got it.
Zeppity.
Grumble.
But which one? Okay, fine. Twitter.
Andy's got Facebook.
Andy's got it, Jeremy.
Oh, Andy's got it. Okay.
All right, timer going now.
All right, starting now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Played Ashland today for the first time, and it was a blast. What caster would be the best pair with the two-list setting?
When I played Mercs and I took a two-list tournament list, I did Ashland and Magnus 2. She was Highborn. He was four-star, and he brought, like, Kayazi and Wrong Eye Snapdraw and stuff like that. So he was the Armor Cracker due to Calamity and the Ragman, and she was infantry control with Gun Mages in this.
Seems good.
Okay.
What he said.
Yeah, Merc player.
Grumble.
Done.
Zappity.
Is Convergence a decent, good faction to get into War Machine? The possible sleeper learning curve does not bother me. Greetings from Germany. This is from Patrick Beaton.
I think it depends what you're looking for. If you're looking for something you can get into and be done with for the time being, then yes, it's a great faction. If you're looking for something where you can get excited about releases and new books and new stuff coming out, well, then you don't want to play Krix, but any other faction.
Well, in addition to that, you're learning a bunch of rules and behaviors that do not translate to other factions.
Correct.
Yeah, even if the learning curve doesn't bother you as far as getting good with it, unlearning that learning is going to be the issue if you expand outside of that.
Yes.
But they're a fun faction, it's and they're solid enough. I mean, there's no reason... There's no faction that's bad to start with. There's no faction that's bad to own or play, but yeah. Just be careful with them.
They probably have the cheapest total buy-in.
Definitely.
Because they're a limited faction. Right now,
They're limited, yeah. They'll have new releases, but not...
Not on a regular basis.
Yeah, they'll probably be more so similar to, like, a new release for Pirates or a new release for the...
Seerforge Loyalist.
Yeah, or a Seerforge. You know, it'd be kind of similar to that.
Yep.
You get, like, one model every 2 years.
Zabity.
Grumble.
If the cast were called on by Zordon to save the world from Rita Repulsa,
wow.
Who would be which color Power Ranger, and what would your Zords be?
I'm going to interrupt for a second and say that Jeremy is Alpha.
Alpha?
Yep.
I don't even know this show that much.
I was
a little too old for this, but
I remember Power Rangers. Exactly. I don't remember Alpha at all.
Alpha would be the wacky gay robot sidekick.
Yeah. That seems right.
I hate you so much.
I'm just like... Yeah, you're the alpha. I love you, Jeremy.
I'm gonna go off book, and I'm gonna say I would be the Green Voltron. I don't even care that he asked about Power
Rangers. You can't be.
I know. I am. I'm going off book. Green Power Ranger.
He did. Okay, he'd be Green Power Ranger.
Or, sorry,
he's
Green accent, Voltron.
No,
Green Voltron.
No, wait. So you'd be Pidge.
Yeah, the kid.
Yeah, he got to go off book and choose anyone. He chose to be kid. The.
And you went for Pidge?
Yeah. What? I liked him in the
Jeremy, old he aims low. Do you also go for the kid?
It's like, what G.I. Joe would you be? He's like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go off book. I'd rather be Snarf.
I was going to go for Thundercats, too.
High five?
Yeah.
All right, Zappity.
Grumble.
No, nobody answered.
Well, that we can't go for Mayor. We've already hit the bottom.
Kate and I would fight over Pink Ranger.
I would.
There you go. We're all the Pink Rangers.
That was the only reason to watch that movie.
I watched for the
Amy Jo Johnson.
Yep.
It's all very confusing to me.
How would it be if Fiona worked for Cephalic's contract, and what other existing mercs do you think they'll get access to?
Well, I think that'll happen.
I agree.
My guess is Cephalic's contract will allow anything that works for Krix.
Yep, they also said that they were going to have some sort of solo attachment that attached to other merc units that corrupts them, which gives them a boost. But if that dies, then they automatically flee.
Yeah. Yeah. Without that, I think it still would just natively allow anybody who works for Krix.
They specifically said like Hammer Dwarves were.
They talked about the NIS. They talked about Boom Howler. So I think it's probably going to be a big majority,
like
of
a unit, those. Like the unit model.
But the main thing Fiona brings is Roth's Mercy, so that the biggest weakness for the Drudge Mind Slaves doesn't crop up. Because when the leader doesn't die, that unit is a solid unit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're a legit 4-6 unit if you don't snipe out the leader, and Roth's Mercy makes sure that doesn't happen.
Yep.
Yep.
Great.
Zeppity.
Grumble.
Have you tried a study in Emerald yet? It's a very solid Cthulhu Sherlock Holmes board card game.
I saw it in the store, but I've not seen it. But I've seen the game, but I've not got it.
I haven't played it.
I'm on a not buy new games stretch, which has lasted almost 2 months.
Wow, it's amazing. Impressive! Wow.
I bought a new game like last week, but it was only $10. So
I have enough store credit to get an entire game for free. So I'm basically, if I get enough, I might pick one up. Now that it'll be basically free.
Nice. Yeah,
we'll see.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Have any of you had Crystal Pepsi? Do you like it better than RC10?
Yes. No. Yes.
Yes, no, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that's a borderline yes, because it's yes, no, and they're both awful.
Yeah. Crystal Pepsi was okay, and it was okay.
I never had it.
Yes, and I miss it.
I thought it was supposed to be the same flavor, it was just no color.
It was supposed to be.
It's really not. It's a completely different flavor, but I don't know, I kind of liked it, so.
Okay. I've never had it. Zappity.
Grumble.
Is that why you lost your hair?
Yeah.
Crystal Pepsi poisoning.
I'm just going to pick this moment to be mean to someone for no real reason.
You know how you got so fat and smell bad?
Wait, hold on. If we're going to be mean to somebody, this is our question from our friends down from Road to War. Mr. Chili Winter says, Will Pagani, overpowered or overrated?
Overrated. If I could have picked one person to not win two major events this year, it would have been Will Pagani.
No, John.
The only thing that's overpowered is going to be his fucking ego.
Well, here's the thing.
Also, I love you, Will.
You don't want Fat Asian winning two events.
He played the tournament. He didn't play a fat. You know what I mean? He picked a faction that would be good in that tournament setting, and that is
twice.
And it's a tactic that worked
really, really well.
I wouldn't be surprised if we start to see that more often.
It's smart.
Well, but not everyone owns every faction. Not everyone. Right. Who else can say, you know what, I'm going to metagame it, and then I'm going to also have the ability and the time and the friends to play 100 games.
Chuck already does
The big thing is that Will can literally go, there's a tournament in a month. I've literally never played Circle. I'll get 400 games in before the tournament.
Yep.
Like,
he posted a picture of this Crooks he wants to get painted before Lock and Load, and it was like 50 models sitting there, and 50, 60 models. And he's like, yeah, I'll have it done.
Yeah.
And he'll practice.
How does he have that much time on his
hands?
He owns a game store.
So he's like Killbox, only he actually plays War Machine.
Yeah. It's all he does is play War Machine, very much.
Like, literally. He opens the door to the store, he sits down, plays War Machine for 12 hours, closes the door to the store, and goes home.
Turns out that makes you a good player. Yeah. Also, he's smart. So
yeah, and he's good, too. He's a good player. Let's not downplay. But.
I mean, granted, his War Machine weekend win was... You know,
things happen. Dice rolls happen.
Dice
are a thing.
But he got to the point to be able to get to that.
I'm not saying he played well, but
no one would question the games that he played to get into that final. He rolled over some people. Like, he played really, really well.
Two things about that final. Number one, it wasn't a 90-10 that got diced. It was 60-40. You know, and number two, he was a good enough player to make his opponent know that he did not have a better than 60-40 chance of winning the game otherwise, so he had to go for it.
And that was the one faction that he did not build for.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was the one thing he did not want to see across the table was trolls, and, well, that happened.
Yeah.
So he pulled it out.
Yeah, so,
Good guy, good player.
Yeah. Well... One of those might be true.
You get a good.
Did you share Crystal Pepsi with Will? Is that what happened?
Yes.
The Crystal Pepsi brothers.
Get it because he was bald too.
Yeah.
Good job, Katie. Oh. Because of this.
She got it. She got zing.
Grumble.
What would a Cater Warjack with a Rat 6 do to the game? And any of you watching Helix? I'm going to answer right away. Helix is fucking amazing, and everyone should watch it.
I'm a couple episodes in. I need to continue.
And it's pretty good. I like it.
I've heard it gets really good as it goes along.
It's pretty good right away. It's probably the best sci-fi television show that I've seen in recent times that didn't want to make me punch the TV. Because there's... I don't know. I don't like some of the, like, Warehouse 13 and that.
Oh, they're fun. They're
so horrible.
They go for the more campy.
What's
fun
our time,
style.
Brian?
Oh, yeah. We have 11 minutes left.
We need to go through these faster.
All right. Pick it up.
Oh, yeah, that's it. If we ramble on, we still stop when we stop. So,
it's our fault. A Rat 6 Cator, like, I haven't seen Helix yet, but Rat 6 Cator Jack terrifies me. They have too many
Depends
ways.
What the gun's like.
It's supposed to have, like, rapid strike, like four shots or something
like
that.
Yeah, multiple shots.
So Butcher's Feet, that's going to ruin your world.
Yeah, yes. or many of the things they have that make it easier, like Vlad 1 or Vlad 2 or fucking... They have a million ways to make Rat 6 bonkers.
Bring it, Cator.
Well, if it costs enough, it's, you know, you can balance anything with point cost.
It's not a crazy point.
And range.
Six. I mean, a six is not a crazy
for them
number.
It is because they're fours across the board.
I'm aware.
So that's
five.
Fine.
There's one five.
Oh, wow. Like, it'd be really good, really, really good with size importance.
It'll be a six inaccurate.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck you.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Faster.
Bacon. Eggs, bacon, or Signar's defeat? Bacon.
Always bacon.
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 What? Bacon is an option, therefore I always choose bacon.
I didn't really hear the question.
That's literally the question. Eggs, bacon or Signar's defeat.
Eggs. I'm going bacon.
I'll say eggs.
What?
Why would you go eggs?
I don't know. Zappity.
Eggs are a necessary evil that comes with bacon.
I don't know about that.
I like eggs.
But bacon's the right answer. Yes.
How many rake jumps does it take before you get a sourpuss and turn into a sore loser?
Clearly one.
One.
Yeah, for whoever this was, it was...
No, it was the final.
Oh, yeah. One.
It takes one.
crime.
What do you?
I didn't even see the game, but yeah.
What do you put on your cottage cheese?
Pepper, fresh ground black pepper. It really tastes good.
I put anything at all on it, then I throw it in the trash and don't eat it.
Oh fuck you, Patrick! This is great.
I just eat it plain. It's delicious.
I'm completely with Jeremy on this. Throw in the trash sucks.
Yeah. If you put enough applesauce in there to liquidate the fact that there's cottage cheese, it's fine. But then you're just eating applesauce
just
with
hold
a weird
the cottage
flavor.
Cheese.
Yeah. Andy.
Okay,
you started reading his stuff. So he's not
started reading. So
well, it's because you. Okay,
I was doing fine. But go ahead, go.
Have played Convergence Floating Jacks, and if so, what are your thoughts on them? My favorite is The Conservator. Also, have any of you played Betrayal on the House on the Hill? If so, what happened?
The Modulator is the only one that I don't super like. I think Conservator and the Assimilator are both good. Although the Assimilator suffers because for its main job, like Ground Pounder is good for infantry control, but people are going to spread out most of the time, so it's better for trying to kill stealth things, but the Monitor is better at doing that, so it kind of struggles there. Betrayal at House on the Hill is a lot of fun. The original vision, hilariously, the original rulebook, the errata was bigger than the rulebook because it was so badly written, but it's a fun game. It starts out as a co-op, if anyone doesn't know, it starts out as a co-op game, and then at a certain point in the game, somebody is randomly chosen to become the bad guy, and then it turns into a everybody against one person thing, with, like, hidden objectives. So, like, the good people don't know what the bad guy's trying to do. He actually, like, secretly reads. And so it's a lot of fun.
What's the best thing to cook inside pancake? For example, chocolate chips, bacon, blueberries, etc.
A waffle. And then without the pancake.
A waffle hole of pancake, much like my cottage cheese answer.
Yeah.
Blueberries.
I like blueberries.
I have no comment.
Chocolate chips are good.
They are good. It's an acceptable answer.
I'll take it.
All right. Those are all of the Facebook ones.
Where's Twitter? Who's on Twitter?
I don't have it up.
We have 7 minutes.
We have 7 minutes to go through
Twitter.
I know, but there's usually just as many.
You made us go too fast, Katie.
I'm sure that we can fill the time.
We would pat, yeah.
crap. Go back. What do you think of the UK meta after it was streamed live from at SmogCon?
Did anyone pay attention?
I didn't watch.
I believe Cater got first and third.
I've been busy painting, sorry. I haven't.
We didn't notice your con, sorry.
The finals are on Twitch, I believe.
Are they?
Okay. You know, if you want me to pay attention, have like Doctor Who there, and then I'll be paying attention to your SmogCon.
Yeah.
If we got the new Doctor there.
Yeah. Put it on your British television and then import it over to Hulu, and then Brian and I will pay attention to it. That's the British entertainment we pay attention to.
Zeppity.
Grumble.
Did Katie get enough birthday presents?
No.
Well,
stupid question. Next.
Alternate question. Katie, is there such a thing as enough birthday presents?
No.
See?
Okay.
Zeppity. Grumble.
You bought me a house, that'd probably be fine.
Wow.
Wow.
Are you guys pumped for the new Godzilla or Gojira movie after seeing how big Godzilla is going to be now?
I don't think that picture and the poster that came out has him at like 350 meters, which I think was just an exaggerated poster.
Yeah, yeah.
I was geeked for it before the poster.
It's one of the two movies I'm most excited to see this year.
Agreed.
You put a giant monster on screen and I'm there. I don't really care.
I fully support everything Godzilla. I love Godzilla.
And the guy who made it had another movie, I think
Monsters.
It was just called Monsters,
yep.
Which is a smaller movie. It's on Netflix. It's really good.
If the movie is 1/10 as well directed and framed as that Halo jump sequence from the trailer.
Yeah, that was amazing.
That's fucking amazing. That's the every shot of that is so well poised. The music choice is amazing. The lighting is amazing. Like, that's one of the greatest 30 seconds of cinematography I've ever seen. So if the rest of the movie is 1/10 that good, it's going to be a masterpiece.
And from his previous movie, it looks like it could actually do that, because it is a really well-shot movie.
Two trailers for movie. Guardians of the Galaxy and Godzilla have had amazing trailers.
Yep.
I need to watch the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, so good.
It's amazing. The best usage of a song in a long time.
Yeah.
We'll watch it after the film.
It's worth it. I'll watch it again. I love it.
Guardians of the Galaxy is amazing because nobody 6 months ago gave a flying fuck about the Guardians of the Galaxy.
I like Rocket Raccoon.
Hardcore nerds knew they existed and thought it was cool that there was a raccoon with a machine gun, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's like, I love, they're my favorite. Like, nobody. No. And then now everybody I talk to is like, oh my God, I'm so excited about this movie. The trailer is amazing. Like, everything was amazing. I'm so excited for Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, people care more about this than they did the Avengers that I'm talking
you
to.
Can't. No,
Chris,
yes.
Chris, not. Some people I'm talking to are like, dude, I am more excited about this than I was about
it's
the
more
Avengers.
Of a comedy. It's definitely a lot more of a comedy, and it's a space thing versus kind of a on the ground.
Also, it's fresh.
Yeah, it's
fresh.
New.
It's completely fresh and new. It's like, oh my God, this could be anything.
And Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt is Chris amazing. Pratt,
like all the actors, everybody who's in it, like it's the cast is astounding. Yes.
Karen Gillan.
4 minutes, 30 seconds.
You got him up, Andy? It looks like you do.
You guys got him.
Okay, fine.
Fine. Scorn player here. How do I get work out of my heavies against infantry before they explode? First of all, a moment of... Pah! You have beat back. You have...
Bronze backs.
You have fucking beat back.
You have Bronze your own scorn infantry that you can hit their infantry with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Swordsmen. They're really good.
You have Berserk. You have Trainwreck. You have... But like,
ignore the form. Swordsmen are good.
Yeah, like Andy said. Yeah, exactly. Like that. Like, you don't have to just say... nothing but beasts. Like you have your bronze back, and then your gladiator, and then this, and so you spend 49 points on your beast, and then you throw in the pain givers, and done. Like bring some swordsmen, bring some reavers,
annihilators,
bring something to take care. If you're scared of the infantry, bring infantry removal tools.
EX Heroes,
incendiarii.
Incendiarii are amazing.
Also, what infantry are exploding Tiberian?
Bane Knights, I'm assuming.
Okay, so Krix.
I'm assuming Bane.
Okay.
It's probably Krix is a threat.
That's fair.
Krix is always a threat of Scorn.
Krix is always a threat for Scorn. That's fair.
Yeah, and Krix infantry is hard hitting, but they're relatively low defense, relatively low armor. Mm-hmm. Stealth on the Knights is an issue, so you don't have to worry about getting around stealth, but you have...
On the Thralls.
Or on the Thralls event, yes. Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, there are infantry removal tools. You don't just have to bring nothing but five beasts and hope you Molotkar and missile every game.
That's true. Although you can, as it turns out, Keith lost to it.
Although
everybody can lose to it.
Gators, also. Gators are the best in that faction with the Taskmaster. And they will kill infantry like crazy. So,
yeah. Well, they're less good against Banes, though, because they're dead.
2 minutes, 44 seconds.
Go.
Okay. Why is Nathan so awesome? Again,
I'll agree with that. I'll agree with that.
It's a smile.
It's a healthy combination of a huge ego and self-loathing. So, you know.
It's a winning combo.
Yeah. I hate myself, and I'm awesome. Mm-hmm.
Zappity?
Zappity.
You can't both Zappity.
Grumble.
You're so bad at this. All right. Terrain inside of
That's
zones.
That's what she said.
Good or bad? Always good.
As long as it's not the illegal type, you can't have obstructions.
Yeah, correct. You can't have obstructions, but it's always good otherwise. Make the game interesting. Yeah. If you're fighting on a parking lot, that's not fun.
Yeah.
When the terrain is placed such that it just eliminates four corners of the board and now we're playing a game in the middle on a 2x2 board that has no terrain on it, that's not a game.
You can tell a Signar player set it up.
What is far, far worse than terrain in the zones is a linear obstacle 14.111 inches up the wall.
Trap walls.
No, 14.1 is not a trap. Where the caster just sits at the perfect spot always.
13.9 is perfect.
That's hilarious.
14.1 is shit.
Yeah.
So if you're setting up terrain for a tournament, those walls need to not be right there.
I'd say about 70% of tournaments have that, too.
Or move them forward 4 inches.
Or have one side.
Yeah. The wall, get
because
up in the
then
game.
They're in the zone, and that's interesting.
Yes.
If you want to come up there and dominate the zone and have the wall for protection, sure. You are at the halfway mark of that fucking table, yes. And you are in danger. You are risk-rewarding it.
Yes. And yeah. I'm okay with walls that are up in the game.
Oh, sure. Walls
I
are
don't
fine.
Like it when they make the terrain symmetrical.
Agreed.
It should your dice roll should matter, and it should be... It's one of the best things about going second is the fact that you get to choose sides.
I like the option of putting the wall on the edge of the zone.
Mm-hmm. But not in the zone,
so the caster can't, or whoever's protecting behind the wall, can't be in that zone.
Same with the kill box thing. You either have to shit or get off the pot.
Yeah. I actually do really like that. At one thing I saw at War Machine Weekend that was a bummer was a wall. I think it was an accident, but the wall had been placed such that the tip of the zone was just under the wall.
Yeah.
And it was just like your caster, I mean, that's clearly where your caster wants to spend
the game. You have to pick that side. I mean, if you see that, take advantage of what you got, but when you're setting it up. So Brian takes a lot of flack, but I think he makes really interesting boards.
Terrain should have an impact on every game. It just can't be overbearing.
Correct.
There's always threads about, you know, someone's like, well, we should have like 100 pieces of terrain on the board. I'm like, I play Legion. Of course you want that. I mean, you have to understand, you want terrain should impact every game.
But not overpower.
Sides should be different, so making the choice matters. But you don't want to say, I won because of the entire game was decided by terrain at the start.
A big great key with the sides being different, and you said symmetry's bad, but there's something that asymmetrical symmetry, and I think this is actually specifically called out in the Steamroller packet, is like you should have like cover on both sides, but different. One can have a linear obstacle, and one can have an obstruction that they can hide behind. You can have rough terrain on both sides. Like, one can have shallow water, and one can have a forest. And then if you have the forest on the one side, put a hill on the other so they both have a plus two defense. Mm. So they're different, but they have similar advantage and different advantages. You know, it's asymmetrical symmetry.
Okay. If I have an event and no one complains about terrain, I didn't set it up right.
You did it wrong.
That's true.
Although I will say, even though I love to see it as a Legion player, when there's a giant forest that is the entire middle of the table, that's probably not very fair for my opponent.
Yeah, that's...
I never have a problem with that.
Well, I'm not saying I have a problem with it. It's just unfortunate for my opponent.
If people think they're being clever by putting some of those things, but they're like, okay, if you put a forest in the middle of every table, you're just giving the benefit to one certain faction.
Yeah. Well, sure. Circle of Legion.
Yeah, but maybe some... But obstructions bother different factions. Like, okay, Bane Knights don't care about obstructions. They'll go through them, but other things can. So you have to have like a balance on your tables.
Also, make sure there's 5-inch gaps between obstructions and linear obstacles. I mean, give maneuverability options to battle engines.
At least allow...
And colossals and whatever.
Yeah, allow spots... Yeah. At least where it's conceivable, where you can put
it. I do like where people put something, whether it be a wall or a small building or something, in the middle-ish of the table so that a colossal can't just wander up the middle of the table.
Oh, yeah.
I'm amazing, and I'm in the middle of the table, and I rolled a game.
But if they literally can't get out of their deployment zone, then there's an issue.
Or if they can only get a quarter of the way up the table, because that happens a lot. Yeah. Or if they have to go to like way to the side to even get anywhere where they're completely out of the game.
Yeah.
That happens.
Because people like to put walls and obstructions across the center line.
Sure.
And then, it becomes this barrier.
Yeah, especially sometimes I think they don't think it through because it's like, well, this is actually fine, and then all of a sudden a objective goes down because of the sort of scenario you're playing, and now the Colossals are just fucked. That does happen.
And if that happens, you can call
the judge. Or worse, as a flag, because objective at least you can kill. If it's a flag, it's there for the rest of the game, and you can't stand on it.
It's just in your way.
Stupid flags.
Oh, well. Well, that's time's up.
Time's up. We have one question left.
Oh, well.
Sorry.
Rules is rules.
Green and Outplayed 76. Twitter it again next week.
He's like, oh, I was only
one. So recommendations, and then food.
Ben, you want to start recommendations?
Sure. I'm not sure if it's been mentioned on the podcast before, sci-fi series. It's actually out of Canada called Continuum.
I haven't even heard of it.
It's a not as well-known series because it's out of Canada, but it's a time travel series where basically these terrorists in the future are about to get executed, and they get sent back in time, like 30 years, to try to stop big businesses and stuff from taking over the world. And one cop gets sent back with them and has like a super suit type thing that allows her to do all kinds of fancy stuff. But
she's cute too.
She is cute.
Very cute. and she meets up with a guy who's later on one of the bigger, like a Bill Gates of that time when he's a kid. He's like 12, 13 or so. So it's a really good show. And it's gone in some really interesting directions in the last couple
seasons. I've only watched
season one. How many seasons are out?
Two.
Okay.
And they're short, too. It's like 12 episodes. They are on Netflix. Nice. It is really worth watching. So
yet another show we need to watch.
It's clever. It's very clever. It's a clever time travel show, too, which is kind of rare. Yeah.
I watched 35 episodes of Arrow in 2 days.
Well, oh,
3 days. 3 days.
Oh, my God.
I love Arrow, wow.
Had you not watched it before?
I was, a lot of 20 hours was while I was painting. So okay, I literally would, I was really, I mean, I painted 20 hours, so 20 of it, and then one other day I just I'm just going
to
watch it.
I'm going to have to do something like that because I need to start painting my
I'm very stubborn conversions. When it comes to painting and watching TV. It's consume it all. I didn't even like this first season of Arrow that much. I just kept watching
it. The first season had some holes to it. The second season's been much better.
Mm-hmm.
I like when they're on the island. That's my favorite part.
That's good parts.
No, that's Lost. You're mixing your shows up.
Damn it.
I'm going to recommend... I might have recommended this before. I know I've talked about it before. At least I talk to people a lot. But it's one of those things that I recommend multiple times to people because the first time I do it, they just roll their eyes and go, yeah, sure, whatever. And then they smile and nod and never do it. But one of my absolute favorite shows of all time, and I think the single greatest sitcom of all time, is King of the Hill.
Yeah, definitely.
And you should watch King of the Hill. And people react like Jeremy, and they're wrong. That show is amazing.
I can't
stand Peggy.
The characters
are amazing. I can't stand Peggy either, and that's why she's an amazing character, because every time she says something in Spanish wrong and I want to punch her, it's an amazing bit of writing. It's a great show with great characters, great writing. I love it, love it, love it. It's fucking hilarious.
I used to work next to a church that had its sign up front with like the sermon and stuff like that, and the reverend was named Reverend Boomhauer.
Oh, my God.
And so I was like, oh, my God, I have to go.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be an amazing sermon.
Famine to Hell to Aaron and Jesus and the Loaves and
Spelled
the
exactly
there.
The same.
I
and
think
everything.
It's an amazing show, too.
It's a really good show.
I really enjoy it, except for Peggy. Like, I just want to punch her in the face.
But you're supposed to want to punch her in
the
face.
I know they're doing a really good job on her character. I just want to punch her in the face.
I love when she takes the kids to Mexico on a field trip, and she's so bad at Spanish, because it's not like she's the Spanish teacher or anything and thinks that she's fucking fluent, that she abducts a Mexican child because she thinks that he's a kid from her class, and she kidnaps him, takes him back to America. Oh, she's so dumb, and I hate her. It's brilliant.
Good stuff.
Cotton Hill. You gotta love Cotton.
She's similar to the woman in Harry Potter, like Miss Umbridge.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, and then you hate them so
much. Oh, I hate them, but yeah.
But they're a well-done character because you hate them.
I wanted to throw that book through a window.
Yeah.
Like, light it on fire.
That wasn't one of the better books.
When she was making Harry write his name.
Umbridge is one of my favorite characters in those stories. From a literary standpoint, Umbridge is a very important character because she is evil, just as a human being. Nothing to do with Voldemort.
Nothing
to do with being dead. Nope, she's just an evil person. Yeah. You know, like, guess what? In the 40s, there were evil people who weren't Nazis. Like, right. They exist. Evil is independent, not just with the... And it was cool to write that. I wish the flip side of a good Slytherin student had existed in the book somewhere.
Yeah, it was weird to me that never...
They didn't just burn down House Slytherin every year. Like, I mean, oh, you're in Slytherin. Alert. Gunshot.
I mean, spoiler alert, I guess that was supposed to be Snape.
Well, sure. But even still, like...
There should have been more.
As it was, like, they should have done Sorting Hat and go, oh, okay, all the Slytherin students were going on a field trip, and then just take them to a room and shot them all in the face.
Yeah, they should, because, I mean, they kind of did in the first movie, because Harry could have gone to Slytherin or to...
Right.
But then it's never reinforced that...
Desire for power is not always a bad thing.
Right.
I read an interesting article, not on Cracked, interestingly enough.
That Wait, what?
The flip side, that the other houses, their main things, the bravery, the loyalty, the intelligence, those can be bad things, just like desire for power can be a good thing. You know.
In fact, there's a book about that. It's called Divergent. It's coming. It's a movie that's coming out soon. Like, then they basically take that. They take what if those basically if the houses that it's not the same as Harry Potter,
right? Obviously,
but if the five houses, there's one for bravery, there's one for intelligence, there's one for selflessness, there's one for
whatever
curiosity. I think it is, and it's like literally it shows how like all of those can just go wrong.
Yeah,
like it's not the premise of the book, but it shows how
part of
every
it.
One of those things can be a terrible thing if you take it too far.
That was a terrible series of books that had really good ideas.
I really liked it because it was. It's you have to take it for what it is.
Because
you're
a tween girl.
It had
way too much mooning over the...
It had too much mooning over... Yes. You have to take it for what it is. It's written for teenagers, and it has a
girls.
Bad
teenage... For teenage girls.
It has a bad teenage romance plot to it.
For teenage girls.
But the rest of the book is amazing.
If you're a teenage girl.
Okay, Pidge.
Anyway, my recommendation is that you get a new shirt.
I love how she's just divulging her
the hatred of me.
She hates your hurt shirt almost as much as she hates Peggy Hill. Like, I'm going to draw Peggy Hill over here, and I'm going to draw her there.
That would be bad. Although she'd be being cut up by the blade.
No, she'd be the one... She's
managing,
doing
the cutting.
Yeah.
There's Peggy Hill holding this blade and Umbridge over there.
This is propane.
And Will
powers,
Pagani up
so,
there.
Yes.
I hate King of the Hill as much as you hate Peggy Hill.
Wow. That's just a general.
I'm with Andy on this one. I just don't
it's
like
so
it
well. There's so many subtle things. I love subtle humor, and it's so subtle so many times.
I never watch it
so
like, intentionally. I only watch it like it's on, and I turn around and I'm like, oh, this is great. I should watch this.
One of my favorite subtle moments is an episode I just rewatched a couple days ago. It's the one where Dale gets a new lawnmower, and he's lording it all over them. And so he's doing his thing, and like Hank's standing there with Bill, and he's like, you know what? I have a feeling that something real bad is going to happen to Dale's lawnmower. And Bill's like, oh, I don't see why that would happen, Hank. I mean, it's a brand new lawnmower. You're probably in really good shape and everything. And Hank just looks at me and I was like, no, Bill. Like, something bad's going to happen. And Bill goes, oh, I get it. And then they stare in awkward silence for a while, and Hank goes, okay, Bill, I'll explain. And Bill just goes, thank you. It's just so subtle and so brilliant.
It has good bits, but the show, on the whole, annoys the crap out of me.
Anywho, what's
it's not for teenage girls.
It's not for teenage girls. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to recommend the Divergent series, because fuck you guys.
Okay.
It's a really...
You showed us.
It's a really enjoyable read. Like, it's... If I had the ability to pull out that love story out of it, it'd be one of the best books ever.
Agreed.
Is it better than the Babysitter's Club's books that you're a huge fan of?
I read those.
Because you were a teenage girl.
Yep.
I hate you all anyway. That's my recommendation.
So that and Twilight, what's your favorites?
I actually didn't enjoy Twilight.
But you read all four books.
No, I read the first three and gave up.
Okay. You know, you have gone up in my esteem for giving up, at least.
Yeah, that,
I mean, true, it's like I gouged out both eyes and then jammed one ear canal before giving up on jamming a pointed stick in my head. Like, you got through three of the four, but at least you stopped before the second ear canal.
I mean, I was partway through book three, like, you know. To be fair, I read those books because I was at Katie's parents' house, and I was bored out of my mind. I had nothing else to do.
It's like reading the shampoo bottle in the bathroom. You're like, I need to read something.
I need something.
It's like the Bible in the hotel room. It's like, I must read this because there's nothing else.
So you didn't get to the werewolf fucking a baby.
I did not.
Okay.
I didn't even know that was a thing until I heard about it later, because I was certainly going to watch the movies after reading the books. Oh, my God.
I read the fourth book by just reading the Wikipedia entry on it.
That might have been the right way to go.
Sometimes that's the right way to go.
It's a lot faster.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Just as creepy, though.
Yeah. creepy.
No, I got nothing.
No recommendation.
Andy counter-recommends not watching King of the Hill because he hates it.
Yeah.
That's a good recommendation. I agree with Andy's recommendation.
Well, it was a very exciting recommendation. My recommendation is a game called... I just forgot the name of it. I have to look it up on my phone.
Can't be Max Axe. No,
it's called Triple Town.
What?
Town? It's called Triple Town. It's kind of a puzzle game where you start off with, like... three items, you combine them into a new item, and you have like a map and then a grid, like an 8x8 grid, and it's filled with like three bushes, three trees, three bushes turn into a tree, three trees turn into a house, three houses turn into like a big house, and then you can make
it older. You showed this to me years ago.
Yeah, I play all the time. Yeah. It's a puzzle game. It's how big of a score you can get. No, but they have like 15 game modes. Now they have modes where you play competitively. You get 2 minutes, and you have to like see how fast you can get a score over somebody else. And it's a fun little. If you like puzzle games and like just goofing around, it's a nice like you play for 15 minutes on the iPad and then go back to whatever you were doing.
Also threes, and the same vein of.
But that's just numbers. Like that's just literally mathing it.
It's ridiculous.
Triple Town disguises it with like bears and trees.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah. Well, this and is, while you're combining
adding and math, and I don't know, it's fun.
I love math. I.
And it's got really fun sound effects and math really good fun. Music, actually.
I recommend it. 5 + 8. Oh, erection.
It's all multiples of 3.
Yeah, I divided.
I'd see a random number, like a house's address, and I would take those digits and see if I could make an equation that got to 0.
I do the same thing.
High five, Ben!
I thought I was the only person on Earth who did that. Nope. Like license plates. I do that, too. Like, I'm like, what can I add to get to this number stuff?
I tried to make it get to 0.
I take the current... rate that I'm driving and the miles left, and then I estimate the time that I'm going to get there.
And that can be a little tough because I'm not that good at like figuring out those proportions in my head.
Neither is she.
But... Yeah, I am. I do it all the time in my own when you're not there.
But your car doesn't have Excel in it, so how do you do the
That's
math?
My point is, how do you do math without Excel?
Do you have a calculator app?
I mean, I don't know if I'm right or not.
I know enough to look at the clock and go, oh, crap, I'm going to be late for the event. I better call Brian.
You end up at Nate time when you do that math. Like, that's how inaccurate it is.
Well, because
I got 50 miles left. I'm going 50 miles an hour. I'll be there in 45 minutes. Nate time.
Disappears.
I do like that today I got, like, texts from several people 15 minutes before recording to make sure that I was on my way.
Yeah. I just said, hey, everyone's already here, so show me what you want.
Sure.
I know. It's just funny because I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of fashionably late more often nowadays.
You are.
I'm going to show up 5 minutes after it should start.
I text everyone at level seven days practically just to make sure they're there.
You text me at like 8 a.m. Level 7 tonight.
Yeah, well, I want to make sure when I'm at your house there's someone there.
I'm going to have lunch with Katie that day. He's like, remind Katie, level 7 tonight. I was like, you have her, just text her yourself.
He already did.
Yeah, that's my subtly reminding you that shy. It's like...
redundancy.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I am a fairly flaky person.
Yeah,
that is 100% true.
If you just had a present there every time she came, you would make sure that...
Brian, you need to buy a present and then just have them sitting at tournaments. This is your present if you finish the event, Katie. And then she'll come to all our events.
Yeah, I've got enough shit.
My only issue with this whole conversation is that there isn't roasted pineapple in front of me.
Well, that's true.
So why we should stop talking?
That's a great transition. All
right, stop this.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Episode 16. Enjoy this. In 39 more episodes, Katie's going to kill herself.
I tried stopping the podcast earlier when I thought I was the last person giving the recommendation. So that's the reason why I didn't give a recommendation.
Oops.
Bye.
Wah, wah.
Goodbye. Thanks for being on the podcast, Ben.